This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's 7 o'clock straight up. It is the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and Katie June. The four of us round out the show each and every week, coming to you. Yeah, that's the only camera we got. That one up there in the corner. Remember that. That's all we got. I've been going through so many goddamn tech, like, blog boards and shit, trying to figure out stuff. There are apparently all kinds of endless problems with these cameras.
Why haven't you called me yet?
Well, you've been busy doing payroll.
That's true. I mean, because I feel I could solve this.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. Setting stuff on fire is going to be about my next choice. But I figure it's a lovely shot.
Burn down the house.
It's a lovely shot of all of us. So I figure that's good. We can.
And I love that I'm the furthest away.
You are the furthest away.
Far, the land of far, far away.
Far, far away.
And that it's the back of my head.
How did I become Shrek? I don't know where I'm at with that. Thanks, Al.
Can you make her look better? Can you pull the shot? I love it. How far? Cleveland.
What do you feel about Cleveland?
For those of you who are watching, you will see that there are various pizza boxes on our conference table. Erin, or we call her Ernie, Marnie's girlfriend, brought in Federal Pizza, which is a local pizza joint here, yum, just really close to the studio, and supplied us all with dinner, and then there's snacks over for dessert for later.
So amazing. And I have peanut butter pretzels.
I told
dry mouth going.
I told Al that with as much as going, this is going to become a fat farm studio. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Nothing wrong. And iced tea as well. I can't, the best girlfriend ever.
She really is. Thank you for being all of our girlfriends. So
this coffee has been hanging on with just new ice going into it for hours. Yeah. So that tea,
you're looking forward to that?
Super excited about that.
That's touching. I wish I had someone. That's very touching.
I have vodka.
Well, I was going to say, you can have some tea.
If you need to add vodka to it, I have a glass.
Tea is not what I'm missing.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Tea for two.
I actually finished all the wine from all the wine trips, so I am now in need of another wine trip.
We have all the wine from all the wine. I'll ask Erin if she's okay with me giving you the bottle. Next week, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Perhaps.
Totally different than giving
you
the finger.
And if you hate it, just throw it away.
Yes, very different. Very.
If I get desperate enough, I will suck your finger because I know there's probably alcohol coming out of that.
Coming out at some point. Get past the blood. Yep, there's alcohol.
There it is.
Tomo is in the chat room along with my mom, Mama Di. Richard is in Quebec, Canada, saying hello. Hi Richard.
Guys. Hi.
This is the 19th of August. Can you believe it's already the latter half of August? That's insane. It is show number 178 in the series. Thank you for being here with everybody.
Here in the Ark.
Yeah, in the Ark. Somebody from the United Arab Emirates is listening, and they've been listening for over 3 hours.
They've been on with us before.
They just go in the chat room.
They should. Well,
hi,
no,
Dubai.
The interesting thing is that there are 10 people in the chat room, and we don't know who all of them are because some of them just choose to go in and they watch. They're just there for the comments.
Yeah.
But they don't let us know who they are. Yeah, exactly.
It's I appreciate that very much.
Meow Cal is there.
Hey.
Hello.
Meow.
Welcome in. Whatever.
I like that you keep trying that.
You'll get it maybe someday.
Someday I'll learn a language. I know. Harrison. God, they're just popping in. And look, Marnie's girl is in the chat room.
Oh, Marnie's girl. We love the pizza.
She's
happy to keep us all fed, she says.
Ernie, that was a delicious choice. And you have to tell us what the pizza is with the green stuff on top.
Yeah, the broccoli. There's broccolini on it.
And it's spicy, and it's just filled with
ricotta. It's like it's good. Written at the end, but I can't read
it. No, it's not. It probably is not on that one. She took one box with her because she assembled her own pizza out of all four boxes.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if the name of the one you're looking for is on the box you took.
Yeah, those aren't words.
I didn't think so.
I recognize cheese when I see it, but I don't know what the second one says. But Federal Pizza, 602-795-2520.
Oh, thanks for the shout out.
Yeah.
To hashtag this. Oh, speaking of hashtags, and I haven't put this in an official memo to you all yet, but Al and I conferred with this because it was my thought. I bounced it off him, and we've settled on...
I voted for everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's my kind of democracy.
Yep, I like it. Let's do it.
Okay.
So our official hashtag, because, you know, we joke about hashtags all the time.
Yeah, I am.
Our official hashtag is hashtag C-U-N Tuesday. Come Tuesday.
I like it.
That's our official hashtag. So from now on, for those of you listening, if you want to post something in reference to the show,
come
you can
Tuesday.
Use that hashtag. Also,
put it in the chat room.
If you go to, if you actually happen to go to, because remember when I started the show, we started, I bought everybodies.com.
Yeah.
Like MarnieRyer.com, yeah. KatieJune.com.
I got to Google mine. Right. I got
to go. Well, because it, just,
I gotta
it goes to your Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
I have it directed. So anyway, I also own BarbaraSeville.com. I bought that for her. So I'm redirecting it for the AIDS walk for this year because we're coming up. Anyway, I see you in Tuesday.com goes to our. So if you just go to www.cuttuesday.com, you're there.
I love it.
And that's only with one T.
I would have voted for that.
Thank you.
Sure, yeah. I figured you were on board.
I was sensing a mood. I was feeling the rhythms. Mm-hmm. So this was,
rhythm of
you
the
better
rhythm.
Eat oh my God, a that is piece so of cool. this bitch because she substituted cheese for you.
Thank you, Richard.
So you better climb out off that crust and shove that in your mouth.
Wow. I have a story later in headlines. Kind of
that's
later.
What he bitch, said. What that's about? What he said.
I told Marnie to identify.
Get off the cross
Marnie,
and
you're
suck
Marnie.
My dick.
I told the other Marnie.
What was that?
I told Marnie number two, as we
Ernie,
like to call her.
Apparently. Yeah.
Ernie, she goes by sometimes.
Sometimes.
I asked her what to name this pizza, and she said that it's called the At Last, but I subbed regatta for goat cheese because Marnie doesn't do goat. So you better eat that fucking thing because she's.
If you don't,
subbing stuff out for you.
If you choose not to eat it, there are three other people in this room that
apparently,
will.
Well, she picked and choosed over it, and you stared at it, so it's back to her. I was the only one that put the whole thing in.
I didn't stare at it. It's right there. I just haven't had time to eat it yet.
Oh, my bad.
It is
yummy. I have my three slices are over there.
It looks delicious. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
You should have heard the sound she made when she thought she was going to put goat milk in her mouth.
I was like, oh, my God, no.
I don't know that I would know the difference.
Oh, yeah, you would.
I would?
No.
Okay.
And I assure you, you would. Like, it's really distinctive.
Okay.
Goat cheese. Kelly hates it too. Thank she doesn't you. Eat goat.
But
at
I think
all.
I do because it's on a salad that I eat it from one of the.
Oh yeah, it's
ones.
Delicious.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it's absolutely delicious.
Okay, then I'm good.
And you know how many food phobias I have? But you know what?
None.
No, me. Oh yeah, there's all kinds.
You
of
eat everything.
I absolutely do not eat everything.
What's your most hated food?
Olives. Can't go near them.
Black or green?
Doesn't matter.
It's just an olive.
And then twice.
Guys, he's okay with
twice now in the last couple of years, including recently in wine country, somebody tried to pass that tamponade.
Tempanade, which I love. It's so yummy.
It's just fucking olives.
It
went in my mouth the second
olives
time.
Olives and olive oil, and it's good.
I love olive oil. Olive oil is delicious, but the actual olives, and I, again, it was on a hummus platter, so I, you know, I'm trying to try everything to get over some of my food phobia, but I just give back to.
It looks like the front yard.
No, it's yummy.
No,
peaches,
it looks
most
like
fruits,
it,
most vegetables.
I didn't, I guess I didn't, if I knew this,
peaches?
I didn't know why.
Oh, yeah, peaches just, I can't even smell them.
Now, my brother doesn't like to bite into a peach because the fuzzy on his teeth, he can't hang.
I might actually die. And that's just because peaches smell like hot vomit to me.
Golly!
When I smell peaches, I just smell
hot vomit.
Like vomit in a hot room.
That is so disgusting.
There's
because
the name
I
of the show.
Love peaches.
Everybody does.
I actually cook peaches and make them hot in like brown sugar, and then I whip my own whipping cream and I eat it. Mm.
Oh, I just smell
when
it.
You're not
I gotta,
on a juice cleanse.
I gotta take the bus out of a room.
I didn't.
So
know.
All the time when I drink wine and they're doing the taste, like you should taste peaches. I'm like, oh sweet Jesus, I hope not.
Vomit.
Can you mask that peaches with a lot of alcohol? Then I'll be fine. Marnie?
Yeah.
She's spreading her cheese.
What are you? It looks like you're doing crafts in the camera shot.
You know what? That's really a smart move instead of getting one big lump of ricotta. Yeah.
Oh, ricotta.
It's like you're spreading paste from second grade across everything. And eating it, just like you did in second grade.
Yeah, totally.
But the one food I am not afraid of in almost any form is cheese. Like, I'm with you. Goat feta, like, everything sounds wrong, but I'm still putting it in my mouth.
And the thing is, like, you can have feta cheese, but it's from goat. It's goat feta.
Oh.
There's dairy feta and goat feta. And I distinctly, like, the minute it got done, I'm like, no,
Kelly, Kelly is the same. But I can't do, so I like most everything. Really. Like most everything except asparagus.
Oh, I love asparagus.
Horrible. I'm like you, like run the other room. Like Kelly's not allowed to make it if I'm home or coming home within
a
2 hour.
Or go to the bathroom after she's had it.
Yeah. Wind, like a 2 hour like time frame. You can't make it if I'm going to be home within 2 hours.
That's how I was with Tim when we lived together. He knew he had to pick a night that I was working to cook broccoli
certain
or
things.
Cauliflower. Like I like them both raw, but I think if you cook cauliflower in the house,
it
we have to move.
Weird.
Like, time to sell the house. And cook cabbage?
Oh, I love cabbage.
Have you also like brainwashed Palmer into this that we just don't like asparagus?
No, I'm actually, it's funny that you asked that. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
She likes most everything. And cooked spinach is the other thing I can't do. Raw,
love
yes.
It. Yeah,
but
too.
Cooked, no.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I'm trying to, like, I think that the one thing I'm really scarring Palmer with is bugs, actually, because I don't like bugs. And so I, like, just today we were in a public restroom and there is a drain and she goes, what's that? And I was going to say, oh, that's where the bugs come out of. And yeah. I'm like, no, Katie, don't. Like,
yeah. Pull it in.
So I'm like, so I make, yesterday also, which I thought was kind of funny, it made me laugh, Mother of the Year. I was grilling out on the back, in the back porch, and Palmer comes running outside and she's playing. And this bee, like a thing I've never seen. It was like a weird mutation of a bee.
Was it a cicada?
No. It was like the size of your pointer finger, and it was striped, and it had wings, and it wasn't a dragonfly, and it definitely looked poisonous.
I'd be hospitalized.
It was horrifying.
It may have been a drone.
That's another one of those things. Like, we are moving. Like, we're out.
Well, I am like throwing pork on. I like drop everything and run in. We run inside and shut the door.
Oh, yeah. And let your kid out there.
Is standing out there, and then she sees it, and she's going, she literally
Mommy,
starts
in.
Crying. Well, because she's trapped between, it's her, and then here's the bee and the door. And she's going, Mommy, please help! Mommy, please help! And I'm standing there looking at her going, I don't know what to do for you.
Save yourself, kid.
I don't know what to do.
Survival
I
of the
can't
fittest.
Come out.
Thank God for that swim class. Get in the water.
Hold your breath, all you guys. I was like laughing. And she came inside crying, and we had to turn it around into a laughter moment because I'm like, this is what I just did is a horrible thing.
That's going to be they're going to call that a therapy moment.
Mommy, please help.
You are saving for that already.
Yeah. So
Palmer, tell us about one of the more traumatic experiences of your childhood.
You Mom locked me outside with the bee the size of our house.
Mom her doesn't head. Love me. Mom takes her fears over her love for me anytime.
I would. Something like that because I'd have been hospitalized. I do not handle any of that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Like at all. I hear that cicada or those fucking things fly in your house.
And when they fly, the ones that fly belly first at you, those big
like June
beetles.
Buggy
oh,
I'm
kind
right
of weird
here.
Thing. Oh my god, that looks like a T-Rex. You look like a T-Rex.
And all I ever, until they do.
Can't do push-ups either.
They're about the same size.
They are not the same.
They are.
I'm a pterodactyl. Sure.
In my mind, they are.
They are. And cicadas come in and apparently
pull
get
out a T-Rex and let's compare.
It's kind of like me at the gym. They get real fucking, they're like, yeah. Oh, God, I'm real tired. That fast because they fly in and they're 100 miles an hour and then they just stop.
It's the shedding of the skin that really grosses me out. When I see the skins like on the outside of my house.
Dead.
Or
I'm fine with that.
Ooh, I just hate seeing their skin. Bugs. So, no, I don't think I'm traumatizing my daughter with food, but certainly I am with insects. So that's good. She came running into the room the other day crying. There's a bug. She was crying. And it was like a tiny little something. Like a fly maybe died and fell in the corner.
Yeah.
And she was horrified. It was like life ending.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is sometimes, because here in Arizona, I have the doors open all the time, you know, in the wintertime. And oftentimes, because flies are the most smart things in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So they, all these big windows in the back of my house, are trying to get out through them and they just repeatedly just hit it over and over.
Right.
And they get tired and they'll just hang on it for a while. And then they repeatedly try to get out again.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite thing is to take a vacuum and I just wait with the crevice to it and suck it right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I just think that's fun. I mean, it adds to my vacuum fetish that I already have anyway.
Right.
But it's fun. I think that it's useful.
It is.
Well, that's why I replaced like every window and door in my house was to get the screen so I could open everything and not
deal with that.
Not have a bug come. Like that, my house is bug.
No,
they have to walk in when I have the door open. Like they have to find their moment.
Coming
through the air conditioning.
I have screens everywhere else, but it's just when I open the doors in the shop in the summer or in the wintertime, that's where they come in.
You know what I just can't. My, like, it's time to burn the house down and move is if there's a cockroach. Yeah. And there are. Yeah, they're just like inevitably are in the summer.
And now it's that time of year where like the upside down one is just.
Well,
I close all of my drains at night. Well, I'm not using them. They're all closed. It's.
Do you also unplug all your appliances at night?
Oh my God, no, but I'm going to start undoing my
Wi-Fi.
Do not.
I said that for Marnie because she unplugs everything.
I want to start unplugging my Wi-Fi.
Please, it's a situation if we get into that conversation.
It's all about June, Gene.
We've done 3 hours on the plugging and unplugging.
Oh, we really have.
Would you be a dear and hand me a paper towel from behind you, please? Because this pizza, though very, very good, has got a little grease on it, and I don't want to touch everything with my little fingers. Stimulating talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, for us. Yes. Oh, there was something else I was going to mention, and I just lost. Oh, the roach thing. You know, when we moved the from Studio B to Studio C, which is here, shortly after we arrived here. What?
I feel like this is going to make me cry.
No, it's not going to make me cry. Shortly after we moved here, and I don't know who it was. For some reason, I think it was you. Opened a bottle of champagne in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Well, it went between the stove and the cabinet, and like half of the champagne went down there and just made a pool.
See, I don't think we can take the blame for this because I usually open all the bottles.
But this
of champagne.
Is right when
I
we got
usually
here.
I'm pretty good about not popping.
And I don't do
not just that, but if she spilled it, there was she a would spill.
Anyway, there was a spill. I don't know if it was an opening of a bottle, but there was a spill.
Sure.
Anyway, so champagne went down between the two, and then I never thought we clean up the counter. Everything's good. I don't even think anything else about it. And then all of a sudden, I keep seeing these little. They were roaches, whatever. And I couldn't figure out where the fuck... Everything's clean. What are we doing? Well, JD, who does our exterminating, yours and mine, he says, well, let's pull out the range. And, of course, what was there was the dried pool of champagne, which is all sugar.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they're looking for.
So, and they're looking for, like food, droppings, also any liquid, water.
Oh, and so I hate to break this to you from my years in the restaurant, but they don't eat as much food as they do the glue that holds, like, cardboard boxes together.
Oh, yeah, they love cardboard boxes.
So they love the glue. They don't eat food per se. They eat weird things to make their nests. So the glue from cardboard boxes, that's why restaurants get them. It's not for the food like you'd think.
But. Point to my story being that was what was attracting them. Soon as we eliminated that, they were gone. Because there's nothing else. I have nothing else. Because until Michael moved in, I don't fucking cook. That oven has done nothing but sit there and just stuff sits on it. And
that's right.
So anyway, storage. So it's all about that. They look for a food source, and that's what they were looking for. They found that sugar, and they were going nuts.
So horrible.
And thank God for JD and Red Shield.
Yes.
He keeps me kind of sane every couple months.
Oh, yeah. We have the Terminex contract. They're out. Every time I see something, I go, well, Palmer has these little toy lizards. And then I swear I'm done with bugs. But she likes, she loves little toys, whatever. And so she has these little, they're tiny, and these little lizards. So anyway, I'm like a dart, right? My eyes are like darting to every corner constantly in my house and everywhere I go looking for bugs. It's horrible. It's like a weird thing. So... I do this in her playroom, especially because it's always, there's just shit everywhere. There's toys out and whatever. So I am looking around and I see one of the little lizards on the floor and I take another step and its tail moves and I'm like, son of a bitch, that's not a toy lizard. And I have to like get down in the toys. And I thank God I'm not scared of the lizards and I scoop it up and we take it outside. But it was just like a quick moment of panic when I thought that it was a tiny
gecko.
Toy. On the floor, and it was real. Yeah,
he wanted
to
sell you car insurance.
I guess 15% or less.
I have the geckos as pets, and now I come in the back door. But in the morning, in the front door, I was getting them at the front door.
They're like crazy.
Yeah, they're like wait at the front door to get in, and then there's a baby one here and there, and I just like get them to run up onto a magazine and go right in the toilet.
Yeah. And I
swim away, dear friend.
Oh, and I pick them up and I'll put them back out. Like they don't scare me. I do try to not chop the tails or sometimes heads off with my hands. You know, it's a whole thing.
I'm not afraid of those either. They don't bug me.
Thank goodness.
Wait, anyway, and that's one of those things you can't fight. It's the
bugs
it's the
in the desert.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
And all I ever hear is that Florida's bugs are worse, so I'm like, I'm good then.
We're not going
they
to Florida.
Are. They just so are.
Because
they really, really
as
are.
As terrifying as our bug population is, just to hear that Florida's worse, I'm like, oh, fuck no.
In every way, really.
Yeah.
Florida's worse.
Bug topic, we've pretty much beaten that one to death, no pun intended. Yeah. Catch up, Marnie, or excuse me, Katie.
You.
Yeah.
This week.
Marnie number three.
This week.
Like, I have a big bite of food in my mouth. Wait a minute.
I don't think anything really exciting. Kelly's in Sedona with her family, which is very nice. She's spending time with her mom and brother.
And her mom's doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, she's hanging in there.
Good.
Right? So,
you're asking us? Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
right? She sounds good.
We're trying to move furniture. Oh my God, I thought Kelly had a stroke on Saturday. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Another situation.
This is really horrible.
That's we're all
moving
about Kelly.
We're moving furniture. I know, right? We're moving furniture.
I take a stroke to get out of moving furniture. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, my sister came over because Kelly can't move because of her back. And so, anyway.
Convenience injury.
Yeah.
Every time it seems.
Yes.
So she bent over to wipe something, you know, get a scuff out of the floor or something. I don't know. And it was very panicky moment. And she went to go set like a cup like this on the counter. And it was like, as she was kind of just bending forward to set it down, she like froze and started shaking. It was horrible, you guys. And like, taking steps backwards into a falling motion, dropped the cup. The cup is plastic, but shatters. Like, there's water everywhere. Palmer starts screaming and crying because Kelly's falling on the floor. I, who thought that I could handle a stressful situation, learned that, in fact, I cannot. When I start screaming, call 911! I mean, I'm, like, hysterical. Oh, Morgan starts crying. It was like, Kelly's laying on the floor. Her pupils are fully dilated. So we called 911. Yeah. Paramedics came. They were like, her blood pressure was elevated, which they attributed to likely my behavior at the time of the incident. But her pulse was low, but then they had her stand up and take it, and it seemed about the same because they were trying to determine if she had been dehydrated or whatever else. She had eaten a little bit already, so they just didn't. It was just a really scary moment. Her pupils were really, really dilated, and then she went into the bedroom and like had to go to bed for a few hours. Scary. So I kept checking on her. No, so then she went to Sedona the very next day.
Oh, that's a good idea. Go to higher altitudes.
But she's going to, we have a doctor friend that she's been talking with. Not that the doctor friend can diagnose her over text message, but.
The doctor's a vet, however.
Yeah. I know.
He's a vet, so.
And she's actually, really it's just vet a PhD. School. Really, it's vet school.
In English literature.
Yeah.
But he's a doctor.
DR. So she's going, but it was a really, she is going, she has an appointment to go this week, but it was a really.
I'm glad there's no hurry in it.
No.
That's what I kind of said. I was like, I feel like maybe you could have just had like a TIA or it was. Real, because I said to her when she kind of bent over, I said, oh my God, what's happening? She said, I don't know what's going on. Like, it was a really kind of scary moment. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
On seriously. That. But
yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to go into your entire medical history, your family. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's... I know. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, what's happening with you, Marnie?
Marnie number one.
Fun.
Now, Marnie, I don't know if you saw something in the chat room said they liked your shirt.
No, I didn't.
Hang on, let me see. Who in the chat room said that? Stand by.
We have to read aloud to the chat room to mark.
Yay, yay.
Richard.
Richard said, yeah.
It's an HRC shirt.
Yeah.
Because Richard's getting ready to start his third
year
of college.
Support your local HRC.
I just saw that part. And good luck to you with that, Richard. Also, Tomo... Fuck off. And I'm just kidding.
That's
Tomo.
In reference to the goat milk cheese,
and
I guess.
Picky eaters. But I'm okay with that. Thank God they make the non-goat milk stuff. Jason got me this last year. We both wore, 2 years ago, we both wore them to Pride.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's fun.
Yay,
it's great. Great colors.
Yeah,
I like how you've matched the hat with the, yes, notice the
I
coordination.
Noticed as well.
And shoes.
Okay.
Did you just meet her?
No.
Okay. That's why it takes her that's why it takes her 9 suitcases to go out of town because
that's a good point.
She garanimals the whole trip.
Exactly.
It's a really, really good point.
Adult garanimals.
I'm so pissed that there is an adult garanimal. But I do my best. I work it out.
It's almost like you're a gay man trapped in a lesbian's body.
Oh, I've said that for years.
Because you color coordinate more than I ever will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just saying, totally. I'm a lesbian. Well, they can't do anything useful. Caught in a gay man's body that also doesn't do anything useful.
But could.
No. So,
if there was only remote control and a couch involved,
exactly.
You'd be fine.
I can accomplish everything with a remote control for my couch.
That can be a lesbian as well. So that's fine.
I mean,
you know, it's good. I don't even remember this week.
No, oh, it's been that kind of a week. A blur.
Yeah, just kind of.
So stroke, Alzheimer's, we're working up all kinds of neurological.
And speaking it like that, the whole Alzheimer's thing, I've been doing lots of documentaries on HBO.
Love them.
Welcome to HBO.
Well,
it's not TV. HBO.
It's HBO. But I've been watching a lot of different things, and one of them, there's a 2-part thing that is on there right now about Alzheimer's, and I sobbed myself silly.
Oh,
why? Because you have everything.
I can't remember who is the. Isn't that about someone's parent in honor?
There was something. They put a thing at the beginning of it, but I was already snot bubbling because of something that happened. But they have like one of them says, "Grandpa, how come you don't like the title is Grandpa? How come you don't remember my name?"
Yeah,
I saw that and that caught my eye because my grandfather had gone through that before he passed, and. Alzheimer's. And then, well, not remembering my name. No, but not remembering my name. And then just the second one was about caregivers for Alzheimer's. And there was a...
That's a blubbery mess, too.
Jesus. I sobbed. One of the... There was a couple, lesbian couple that was included in it, had been together 24 years, and... forget it. I was done.
Yeah.
So I do remember that part.
I think we had a discussion over the... One of the earlier shows, it seemed like we had a discussion in regards to Alzheimer's, and I don't forget who, I don't know if Buddy was here or not, but when we talked about, because I can't remember that either. No, but we talked about it because I had a grandmother that went through it, and I lived for a while. I was much younger, but I went to live with them to kind of take care of her and other things, because I just adored her. And she had this thing of, they had a huge house, and she had this thing of repeatedly feeding this cat that she kept locked in a room. And like they would buy, the only thing she would feed it was like turkey breast lunch meat and condensed milk. And she would do it and get in bed and get right back up and do it again. Like it was a repeat, like she just got in that cycle.
Oh. Yeah.
And I remember one time.
That litter box must have stunk.
Talking about.
Or it was very clean.
Talking about. And then she would not let the cat. Like the cat wouldn't eat because the cat was full. The cat didn't eat it all.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
so she would just
the heavy diet.
So she would just replace it continually. Yeah, it was one of the cycles she was in. But when you made the common reference to caregivers, it was a real shock the day she was frustrated about something, and I was looking in the refrigerator, and she wanted something, and she got frustrated, and she hit me. And I'm not talking just a smack. She punched me, and I was just stunned. And I remember looking at her and seeing. In her face, I could see in her, she didn't know what to do because she didn't know why she did it or.
Yeah,
it,
who you were.
I certainly got over it, but it's like when I looked into her eyes and saw that pain of hers because she didn't know.
Fear and shock.
Horrible. It was just terrible.
And the idea of that blank that comes with it at other times where.
And the worst in the blank is the complete fear of they don't know who you are or where they are, like just the absolute fear in their face.
But is that the look in your eyes or theirs at that point?
No, it's theirs. And you see it in their face and eyes because they don't know where they are.
Sure.
And they don't know who you are.
And why are you here?
Like, this is not my house.
And then they don't know, and they don't know where they need to be.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a complete...
Yeah, that's true.
So, that's a mean-spirited disease.
I'm just curious because...
And there are all kinds of different... it's like it's a cancer, you know, with all these different types of Alzheimer's.
Yeah, so I'm curious only because I don't know anything about it, but I always thought that it just kind of made your mind go, but I also know people who have died really quickly from it. And how does that happen?
It can go either way. Either it can spread like wildfire. Or it just is a slow, progressive, just evil disease.
And is it just shut your brain down? Is that what it does? And you forget your body forgets how to breathe?
She'll know more if I watch the documentary, but there's like changes in the brain and some kind. Sometimes they'll see like atrophy of
different physically deteriorated. My grandmother physically deteriorated as well.
Yeah, and it's a combination of everything, but it's just an insidious, it's a horrible, horrible
disease.
And
the thing was that this didn't
that they're
necessarily
just learning
describe
about.
A lot about Alzheimer's.
Because they don't know very much.
It was about the stories that go with caregivers, and I haven't watched the grandfather one because I honestly couldn't get there yet. I was like, holy shit.
They know more about sharks than we know about Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They spend more Shark Week than
more
time. If we ever have Alzheimer's Week, though nobody will remember when it's on, but if we ever get Alzheimer's Week.
But that's the thing about a celebrity, and I want to say that this was put on because of someone's grandfather the
that
person
does sound right.
If it wasn't this documentary, there's another one that's out about someone's grandfather, and it is because you need a celebrity. Like as soon as
you totally do.
Like Parkinson's gets money because Michael J. Fox is if you put a face to the disease and people all of a sudden want to donate.
Robin Williams for what he's done for suicide prevention right now. Sure. Like the money that and the hotlines are just
depression being right? real and you always need a celebrity.
And the ALS the ice challenge.
And the ALS guy died.
Yes, what? Just last
the guy
week.
That's initiated the challenge.
Did he really?
No. He drowned.
Drowned celebrating in a friend's pool.
No.
So horrible.
So that's why I'm like, because I just saw him on something. And he didn't look like he was having trouble.
Well, the
like
shot was
trouble.
When the shot just from here up. When the face shot. That's only when I saw the guy.
It was an interview with him.
Oh.
But I got a text message like a day or two ago.
I saw that.
That's ironic.
Yes. All right. So Marnie's done. You're good. We're caught up with you. Yeah. Alfred.
Well, working way too much again this week, days and nights. So my body doesn't know when the shitter goes sailing half the time. But.
Oh, Okay.
I'm just a fucking train wreck from these shifts that I'm working. But today, it was my annual visit to the neurologist. So we'll just keep it on with neuro disorders. In a strange bit of coincidence, last year when I went was the great water catastrophe, in almost into the wash, but recognize what was coming towards
the monsoon
me
of 2013.
So today it's raining like that again, and I made my way, and I was kind of thinking like, oh, this is the exact same weather, the same kind of shit. Get up there, but luckily the parking, it wasn't raining over the building like it was last year, so the parking lot of my doctor's office wasn't flooded. It was raining really hard, but last year the initial problem was that the parking lot was flooded, and I couldn't get out to the light because I would have had to cross
another wash.
Because everything up there in Deer Valley, as we discussed last year, is all arroyos, and like they just paved.
And we're seeing again.
Yeah.
Today it's all north.
It's all north Valley. Because they didn't grid it out. Those aren't real streets. Those are just
paved washes.
Yeah. So craziness. So it's starting. I get in, I get out. Everyone's commenting like, weren't you the guy last year that showed up here? And I was, because the parking lot was soaked, that they didn't believe I actually drove. Because when they got into their office at 8 a.m., it had just been mildly raining, and they don't have windows that they can see down, so they didn't realize their parking lot was underwater. And I had the first, remember, if you remember from last year, I had the first spot. And just walking from the first spot to the medical office building, I got, plus it was flooded.
Yeah.
So I was walking through a foot of water and soaking wet. Oh my God, when I got up there, they were like, did you walk here? I'm like, no, I drove. They're like, no, come on. You're like,
soaked.
I look like a used tampon.
Oh my
God. Well, I was all cotton and I was completely absorbed. You know what I mean? My t-shirt was like down around my ankles.
Wow.
So it wasn't a heavy flow day.
Yeah.
But, yeah. How about tampon in the
tampon
bathtub?
Humor.
Okay. Something.
Something.
I think it looked
it's a very absorbing
story. I'll take tampon in a bathtub. I'll take tampon in a bathtub.
So this year, the lady always, she always remembers me because we have, there's certain issues with referrals and stuff like that. So she's always kind of like, oh Jesus, it's this one again. So go. It's a 5-minute appointment for all this driving and harassment. It seriously is just a checkup, get my prescription refilled for the year, wave at the guy, and go.
Yeah.
So this time I'm driving home and I'm like, okay, the parking lot's not flooded. I can make the appropriate left turn. I don't have to go back into the, make the right turn and try to find your way around the 101 27th Avenue interchange.
Which is
where you have to go under through another flooded road. So I made my left. I'm like, all right, this is not bad. And then I get on the 17 coming south and the rain really picked up again, because the rain was really at your mom's house, like around Cactus, which last year was flooded, and they had backed up traffic because people were trying to go down the off-ramp,
right, and you
but Cactus was a river, so they were trying to get people to back up on the freeway, which is just delightful. It's just a great idea when you're on a freeway to have some people going backwards in the rain.
As you're trying to,
not just slower, but literally backwards.
Most smartest.
So if you listen to that show from last year, I go into some detail about everything that went wrong. So I'm like, okay, it's really raining. We're all going about 35, 40 because the visibility's nothing.
Right.
And it's raining so hard and everything's coming. And I'm remaining calm. And I get, because my fucking phone
is Bluetooth
to my stereo system, which is on extra, extra sing-along loud.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like white knuckling, just about to slam on my brakes. I thought, is that my car? Is it a warning from another car? Like the world is ending.
Like,
is
this right now.
And but my radio's not on. It's just my sound system is on to Bluetooth through my phone because I've never listened to a radio. So I'm like, I know it's not an emergency broadcast alert. Because I don't even know what
it is. These damn alerts.
Oh my God.
You can shut them off.
And then I looked, well, I've never had that happen before.
I have all mine shut off.
Oh, yeah.
My phone is 99%. And this was with the phone on the off setting.
Doesn't matter.
It's not on the...
I feel like I can look out the window and I can look up and go, yeah, that looks
dangerous.
But
I felt like because I drove through the part where the rain got bad, that I had just driven into the alert zone of like, this is a flash flood area. And like,
Okay, so I was at work this morning.
Because the ones overnight that I got, like I got one at 7 o'clock this morning, I got one at 7:45, I got one at 8:15.
That's what I don't
get.
But
they vibrated. They didn't make a noise. It vibrated like my phone was off. This
like
one...
Like giving you an alert.
Did a... Like, you're in a car, you're driving in a flash flood area, and...
You're playing music.
Am I on it?
back up on the freeway. Back up on the freeway.
Because you're playing music.
But what I'm thinking, no, I didn't have the music on. That's what I'm saying. It was just Bluetooth in. Like, I didn't
you
have it.
You were driving and not listening to music?
Because it was so terrifying. It really was. Like, it was a whiteout, and I'm like,
not even Donna Summer could get him through that.
It calmed his nerves.
No, when I get I get it.
When I get nervous or the weather's bad, I just turn off because I just want.
You need to focus.
Yeah, I need all. I don't want to get distracted, but
that's
I want to hear
Aaron
that song again.
Just when we're looking for something.
Because if it's, yeah, no, I do that too.
Because if it's quiet,
is that weird?
We'll find
I do the same
easier.
Thing. Like, I got to turn this down. I got to figure out what I'm doing.
And
like, you just
like,
need to focus.
The
so the volume, like I said, the volume was set and ready. It just had nothing going on it. And I didn't even have it plugged in. But just that it decided, like, and if I'm in my car and it's Bluetooth and you text me, I'll get the chimes through my car. But if I have it on the offsetting, it won't chime. So the fact that it said, Molly, you in danger, girl.
Those alerts break through anything. Like, I can have everything off, volume down, everything shut off, and they come through.
Because overnight, it vibrated a lot. Like, because I had the alarm set on my phone today for that appointment, but I was like, oh, sweet mother of Jesus. So it was my,
I would have loved to have seen a dash cam on you.
Yeah, thank God. Now I'm happy for the leather seats. I could just wipe that off.
Oh, fun.
How about you, fine sir?
Well,
I'm glad you're safe, by the way, Mr. Perkins.
And thank you for making it to the to the show.
That's, yeah.
And all I had to come and put myself
come
to bed.
Come hell or high water.
I was supposed to be going to the movies, and I'm like, oh, no, Mama's got to lay down. I went
you
got milk and bread.
That.
I had comfort foods, and I took to my bed.
Well, I'm on a new pursuit, and I Mom is on board with me so far, though I'm sure Mom thinks I'm crazy. I don't know if anybody saw on Facebook that I posted a picture of a bus that I said I was going to put a bid on. Well, no, because first of all, the reserve is set so high. And that's not really the bus I want. However, when the bidding was at a grand for this fucking bus that has everything in it, I'm like, well, I'll buy a bus for a grand and then we'll flip it. That was what I thought. No, so we've changed our mind. Here's what we're doing. Okay. We're now, and I thank my cousin back in Missouri for getting his fiance to take a picture. I needed to find... I'm on a pursuit now to find the last bus that my mom's father drove. He used to drive for Trailways Bus Systems here in the Midwest, actually.
Here in... No, not here.
In the Midwest. I was going to say here in the States is what I was going to say. But anyway, so I found the bus number. With a minimal amount of Google searching, I have managed to find the date it was manufactured, the serial number of the bus, and who it was sold to. So I found that. So now I have started to email out to... There's some actually clubs, the Silver Eagle bus. That, you know, there's people who are into this car and that car and whatever. Well, there are people who are into buses.
Yeah.
And apparently I have this newfound disease. So anyway, I've emailed a few people to
is
see.
Is there an RV gate back there?
Not yet.
I
not
have great. One at my house, so if you need to park it there.
Yeah.
You would never be able to turn in, but.
No, I never, no. But no, again. No. I'm already thinking. It's because it's going to go across the street. Right. I'll park it in B's.
That's
park.
So great.
Anyway,
hey B, want a bus?
How do you feel?
Yeah. So, anywho, that's my new pursuit. Is I'm looking to see if I can find information about where. So, it could not even be in existence anymore. It could
so
have
wait,
been parted out.
You said you sent some emails. You haven't heard anything back.
Not
yet.
Back. I just sent them today. There, I found on Facebook there is a Silver Eagle bus group.
That is so
really
crazy.
Is a place
I
for
love
everyone.
It. Yeah.
So I emailed one of the administrators of that group because it's a closed group. You can't just message him. So I just sent an email to him.
No interlopers.
No. You've got to get approved to be part of their
that
group.
Is hysterical.
So emailed him, and then there is a there was a bus place out of Texas that does a lot of selling of buses and stuff like that. So I emailed them with the information and said, look, I know you don't have the bus. I'm guessing you don't, but
what if they did?
What? Right. But I'm like, what would you, if you're looking for a specific unit, how would you go about finding it? Because I do have the serial number for the bus. It's like a VIN for a car. So there's a chance that I might be able to go back through, maybe states in the Midwest and do VIN searches
records,
and find
yeah.
if it's even registered. If you know if there's the last owner of it. I mean, for all I know, it could be sitting in a salvage yard with a million parts taken off of it because it was cannibalized for you know to save other buses' lives. But anyway,
save other buses' lives.
Yes,
well, but then you know
at least
we've
kept
got
the drama
that.
To a minimum.
We've got that bus thing downtown.
Look, you told your flood
it's
story.
A terminal.
Is that what that is? Thank you for that terminology. The bus terminal downtown that has all those cool
also
vintage
depots
buses. You know they've got all the cool vintage buses. Yes. So maybe it could be.
It's not there.
Not there.
Oh, like a
but
museum
it could
piece
be somewhere. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, and a lot of those buses were sold off and then converted into luxury liners for for like, well, the Silver Eagle was one of the most popular.
Google the Silver Eagle.
Just Google 1973 Silver Eagle bus.
I want one bus. Too. I think that's fantastic.
I want two. Oh, no, you know, because they're, okay, here's what we figured out. So Carlton and I were drinking the other night. I know that surprises you. Yeah, so we're both looking at all these buses online. We figured out the tank is 130 gallons. So it's going to cost us about $500 to fill it with current prices. But you can drive 1,300 miles on a tank.
I thought you were like 1,300 feet.
Hey, no. This one.
You can drive right to the next gas station.
This one was converted to a church bus.
Right, and no,
it says
I don't want
praising
that.
God in songs on the side. So let's hope that's not your grandpa's
so
bus.
So no, what's going to happen is we're going to, instead of that praising God, we're going to put our faces on the side of that bus and we're going to drive around the world.
Boom.
Because I could put a studio. Ooh. I could put a studio in that motherfucker.
There's a couple bridges to keep
these
us from driving
updated
around the world.
Ones are sexy.
Yeah.
Like that
so,
one.
Right. No, so,
it's really nice.
Yeah,
looking.
That's a little bit more tricked out. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
But what I'm wanting, what I really would hope to find this is in its original state as it was a passenger bus. Mm-hmm. And because I only want the first few rows of seats to remain. And then for the rest of it, we'll take it out and put a radio studio and a bed or something in it so we can all travel around these southwestern states and do shows.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah. No. Not going to do that.
Nobody's hey, Waylon Jennings' tour bus was a 1973 Silver Eagle.
Yeah, very good. See? So we want to be Waylon Jennings and drive around.
The outlaw. We want to be the outlaw.
Yes. No. So anywho, that's what one of my big pursuits for this week is trying to get that.
It. That's cool.
See if I can find it. Because I think it would be very
that's
cool.
That's really fun, yeah.
And even if we find out that it is sitting in a salvage yard and just the carcass of it, I would like to go to it and just to take pictures because I just think it's very cool to think of that's the last bus he drove. And I've always, yeah, that's more like what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I'm looking for right
there. This is back in its heyday. Oh, when, right. When it was in.
The one that looks like kind of like a bus.
Yeah.
they all vaguely look like a bus.
It so resembles.
If anybody listening knows anybody that knows how to track down a Silver Eagle bus, then let me know because that would be beneficial to my quest.
I like that picture of your grandpa. That was cool.
Standing
in the
neat
in the door of the bus. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I was happy for that because I went to mom's last night. I called her and I said, you've got a bunch of old pictures, right, in those boxes of yours. She goes, oh yeah, they're in that other room. I'm like, do you even have pictures of the day that grandpa retired? Do you have pictures? Because I know she ran a Super 8 film she videoed it. But I'm like, she goes, oh sure I do. I'm like, can I come up right now and go through those? And she's like, well, yeah, I guess. So I drove up there last night and we got up both those big boxes of pictures and went through thousands of them. Of course, reminiscing about this thing and that. And she showed me a lot of wonderful pictures of me in various outfits where she used to dress me up all the time after she made all those outfits, which I think is now why I hate changing clothes, like having to go try on anything, because mom made me do it a million times from birth to like five. Anyway,
there are some cool ass old buses for sale.
There are, and they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
Some of the bigger ones. Well, you're in the $100,000.
Yeah, okay. Like I mean, here's a really cheap one for $36,900. But here's one for $75,000.
Oh,
here's one
over.
For like $95,000.
There is one that has been
reasonably priced.
There is one in very south Texas that has really been completely gutted. There's nothing inside of it. They were going to do a conversion.
Just 30 or 40 children from Honduras trying to find shelter. No.
But it's sitting there, and they only want like $1,800 for it. Oh, that's the one. That's you're looking at the very one that I was looking at to bid on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Because it's like one of the cheaper ones at a mere $20,000.
Right.
But
now see, it's $20,000 on there, but on eBay, you don't know what the price is. So the reserve's not been met yet. So I knew he had to be around 20 grand
for
what he's for that, the reserve price. Stimulating talk radio about old buses.
This is what is happening. I'm buying a bus.
What I want is I just think it'd be so much fun to be able to throw a few people together. Sure. All the luggage goes in the belly of it. You load up and we can just take off.
And you just like hang out on a bus.
I realize they have RVs for this and they are already custom outfitted and done with it. I just want the bus, I can at all get it, the one that was the bus that my grandfather drove.
That would be super dope.
That I stood
and a fun project for you to like.
I think it's
check out a bus.
And for the most part, it's just all internet searches and emails at this point to see if we can figure out where the hell it is. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It may be something.
Yep. That would be very fun though.
Can't park it at my house.
They won't know.
I just want to throw that out there.
I'm
eliminated that from I want to have first refusal before B is like fuck no.
You're out.
Well, first of all, I can't park at your house because your garage and your driveway don't line up.
Oh, same.
See, that's true. But there is a giant unused backyard that somebody might be eyeing up.
But no, I could, you could never get the bus in there.
You couldn't.
Your alleyway. There's not enough. Remember, you got to have.
No, but you could go through the gate and veer. Yeah.
No, no.
I don't think so.
No.
I feel a skilled bus driver could do that.
A 40-foot bus, you're not moving through there. No, you're not. I know this.
You could just park it in the alley and hope no one cares. Just leave it there.
But then you got to move it every Friday for the trash man.
Yeah, no, fuck it. No, I would. I'll park the motherfucker at Charlie's. I don't care.
Oh yeah, that's actually a really good
idea. That's where it's gonna go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm there every day anyway, so why not? I can keep an eye on it. Everything works out pretty well.
What's a mechanophile? Remember, I know that was one of your stories.
That was fucking cars.
Oh, that's right. That's right. As soon as I did, Richard says, ask Marnie. She'll remember.
Oh, that's great.
She'll refresh your
nice,
memory.
Nice, Richard.
That's right.
And I love that Tom will change your name to Margaret. I'm keeping that.
Oh, my God.
Salad.com.
When you guys were talking, I go, oh,
wait a minute. And also, did you see this that Harrison wrote? There's a dating site for people who love salad. Salad.com.
Come on.
For people of limited interests.
Yeah. If you're really want to eat your salad toss, that's...
If you want to toss the salad.
Oh, my God.
I went there. I'm like, do you like puppies? No. Do you like pizza? No. Car? No.
Toss my salad.
No. How about
there
salad? Salad. Oh, that's our love.
Farmers only.
It's the one thing we have in common.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
A place for everything. And please keep everything in its place. Like, salad.com. Keep to yourself.
Stay there.
Right?
Don't reach out.
It is 15 before the hour. We've talked enough about all that we did. We're going to do headlines.
Miao Kell is a bus driver and fellow bus enthusiast.
Radio Network.
There we go with some headlines on this Tuesday night. I hope Marnie's ready.
I'm all right.
We'll get it figured out.
Can you get her the pie chart so she can refer back?
I'm ready. Oh, an astronaut turns out to be a surgeon.
Your argument is invalid.
Man keeps junk in jars.
Oops, where's my arm?
Put the toilet seat down!
A lick and a kick.
Robber tries to make a clean getaway.
The chicken's intent.
And flip-flops cause a water landing in California. These and more titillating stories coming up right now on Q Talk America.
A what landing?
Water.
Water.
Water landing.
Oh, sorry, gotcha.
Titillating tits.
It was titillating.
Titillating.
Titillating landing.
Tits up.
I'm excited that we found another bus enthusiast.
Meow Cal's a bus enthusiast?
Well, yes. Driver in Minnesota, I believe.
Well.
Tis love.
What's he driving? What are you driving? What have you been... So what you been driving?
Yeah. I don't know. So what are you doing after?
I don't know where to go for that. Would you like to take the Downtown Express?
Do you, hey! Do you want some candy?
My bus doesn't have windows.
We can toss a salad in the back.
Right.
.com.
Oh. .com. Well... An 85-year-old man was unharmed Saturday after he crashed his car into his backyard pool.
Ooh, well played.
Officers responded around 11:45 a.m. to a report in Altadena, California, of a car crashing into a pool. The man was pulling into his garage when the crash occurred. Apparently, his house has a garage door on the front and the back, and he actually drove right through the garage, right into the backyard. The car went through a rear garage door into the backyard swimming pool, ending up fully submerged. By the way, I have a picture of the fully submerged car. There it is.
Oh, wow.
Very James Bond, the spy who loved me.
I wonder how the interior.
There it is.
Yeah. So the car went through. Officials say that the driver of the white sedan was able to get out of the car on his own. And by the time the paramedics arrived, he was unharmed. No one else was in the car or the pool at the time. The driver told authorities that his flip-flops were entangled in the pedals and caused him to lose complete control of the car. And soon after losing this control, he wound up submerged. The California Highway Patrol, otherwise known as CHIPS, is investigating the incident, which I think is stupid. Why would you waste man hours investigating the incident when the guy's like, I fucked up and drove my car into my own pool.
In my own house.
Yeah.
So everything's okay.
Hard because they used to say if your car was submerged to equalize the pressure to open the doors to roll down the windows.
Yeah,
but now they're all electric.
Now they're all electric, so you could end up in real problems. Yeah. You probably have to kick out the window.
But the
pressure's so high that I guess that's one of the problems of being submerged is opening the door.
You should
always drive around with your windows open.
I question it.
Or don't wear flip-flops.
I'm questioning.
No, and there's a lot of states where that's illegal.
I'm questioning flip-flops. And I'm also questioning that he's 85.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Also, 85-year-olds wear flip-flops?
Well, and they could
that's
just
the other
be
thing.
Sandals. I hope he has a regular podiatrist.
They could be TVs with socks.
He was driving a newer version of your car, so we know your car doesn't float. Just letting you know that now.
There's that.
Well, we learned that last year, too.
Almost this morning.
Yeah. Tell me when that gets annoying.
Oh, well, I'm ready.
Too late. Yeah. Thank you.
Too late, Elf.
All done. Good. Real good. Thanks. Did you guys know Charles Manson's getting married?
I saw the headline.
I didn't.
Yeah. Where do we send a card?
I know, right?
San Quentin?
California right State off. Penitentiary?
Douchebag. Yeah, so he's getting married to like some 20-something.
There's someone for everyone, just not me.
Well,
lowered expectations.
If you want Chuck Manson, you too can have him.
Do you like swastikas and murder? Okay.
and salad?
Perfect. Good timing, people.
We've been on since we
and at this level of desperation, like I'm just now objecting to the fact that he's too short.
Well, I have a real the argument is invalid about gay marriage. If Chuck Manson can get married,
the sanctity. Right.
This is
of
a very
marriage.
Good point,
the sanctity
Marnie.
Of marriage. It's,
good point,
Marn. Fucking ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? So Lambda has asked, and this is for in Arizona. Lambda Legal asked court to compel Arizona to recognize marriage of gay couple battling serious illness. And I read this, and it just broke my heart that Chuck Manson is getting married.
Yeah.
And that it's okay. And yeah. It's on TV, and it's almost being oddly celebrated by weird people.
Conjugal visits.
Oh, wait,
are
he's getting
difficult.
Married on TV?
No.
But they're talking about it.
God, I thought they were going to make
Jesus,
like a reality special.
It could be on court TV.
Marry Chuck Manson.
I mean,
married?
A Fox News special.
It'll be like
gun enthusiast Charles Manson.
That's
Mary's
what
today.
And then you'll have on the other side. The other side, Nancy Grace. Well, I don't like Kate Jigamire.
Yeah,
that's why I'm here.
Fuck
my,
her.
With my,
I honestly would not mind locking her in a cell with Chuck.
Oh, that.
Oh, let him
awesome.
Go at it.
Yeah, just
the two of them.
See who comes
anyway,
out.
So
well,
Lambda Legal is asking a federal court to compel the state of Arizona. So that's going to happen immediately to recognize the marriage of George Martinez and Fred McGuire. They're a gay couple from Green Valley. I didn't get a chance to look that up. I'm not sure where that is in Arizona.
I think it's up north. Northwestern, okay. I think.
They've been together for 45 years, and they were married last month in California after George was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer that has metastasized to his liver and told he only had months to live. So they wanted to... Lambda has pushed this through so that their marriage, because oddly they, of course, had to struggle to get to California with the illnesses... And then they come back here, and it's not recognized anyway.
Right.
They know, but it's just not recognized, and there are reasons why it's a big deal, aside from just matters of the heart. So Fred and George, as they near the end of their 45-year journey together, Lambda saying they deserve the freedom to focus on each other, secure in the knowledge that their love and commitment is recognized and respected. Here's why it's a big deal. George, 62, and Fred, 69, of Green Valley, are both veterans of the United States Armed Forces, who met in 1969. George served in the Air Force in Vietnam. Fred served in both the U.S. Air Force and Army and was stationed in Guam. Fred has like a pulmonary disease and Parkinson's. George with a prostate cancer 3 years ago as a result from his exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Oh, for the love
of
fuck.
Right? Now, here's the all we're asking
so
is that...
So he's a veteran who already is getting screwed by the VA.
Exactly.
Plus he can't even do get benefits because of a marriage.
Exactly.
So
and
many
that's,
things.
That's
and he can't the, write his name in the snow. There's so many things going on.
It's a big deal right
now. There's no snow in Green Valley.
Prostate problems.
They're
Hashtag.
Asking that Arizona respect the marriage and respect the life we've built together for almost half a century. There are a whole lot of straight couples that can't say that. My parents only got 12 years out of that run, you know? Arizona's marriage ban, of course, prevents George from accessing the increased veterans disability compensation through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, to which disabled veterans with spouses usually are entitled. Furthermore, when George dies, the state will refuse to issue a death certificate to Fred as George's surviving husband, which will interfere with Fred's ability to take care of George's affairs after his death. That people are generally able to do. There are two other plaintiffs that are in this case. Nelda Majors is 75 and Karen Bailey is 74.
The cutest ladies.
Yeah,
and they're
really
out of Scottsdale.
Cute.
They've been together for more than 55 years and raised two children. It blows my mind.
So, and I
Chuck Manson.
I have a distant cousin who is Divorcing after 6 months.
Wow.
What?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Distant cousin.
Oh, you know, gay divorce is the next.
Divorcing week. After 6 months. But Kelly and I, 8 years.
Right.
No can do.
Oh, you're talking about a straight couple.
Yeah. Divorcing after 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
That, and it's like her third marriage. And the thing, additionally. And, sanctity
and
of marriage, people.
Gays don't get together and break up and get together and break up. And that now in some places.
But everyone should be allowed to do it the same.
But everyone should be able to do it the same.
Everybody should be able to fuck it up the same.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right.
Just like Bill Maher has said. Let everybody just be able to get it.
I've always said
it. In this personal hell.
Yeah.
So when is this case, why are we so late in the game of getting this case to court? Like, what is the process that's taking so long?
Because
now we've lost another season, right?
That I don't know.
Legislative season?
I don't know, because it goes through the
judicial
courts.
Right, this is through a federal court.
No, I don't know if we lose a season, but I do know there's two court cases happening right now in Arizona. So there's this one, and then there's another court case, which... our good friend Kathy Young. I don't know if you know Kathy Young. She's been
I know that name.
An advocate with HRC. I knew her from HRC, and she and her partner are among seven couples. Okay. I want to say that's different lawsuit than this one, okay. Claiming
well,
different
this one is
things.
Trying to. This one is trying to do it in like
this is the
a
first
fast
one.
Manner,
yes.
Like, and speed it up because of
expeditiously, if you will.
This is the first one. Then this they've got the second court case. And why is it taking so long? Just because it's just the process. I don't know. I think that every other state that we've seen fall before us, they had also lengthy things. Maybe just perhaps they're started earlier than ours. I think because we have already had the voter approved amendment supporting gay marriage, and then the voter
is this the one Meg Sneed is a part of? Yes.
No. So not right now.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. In 2006, we had the voter approved. Yes.
Right.
Yay. Gay marriage. And then in 2008, we promptly had the voter taken away.
Yep.
So what we have in Arizona going on is three things, and I think Meg is probably a part of the last thing,
okay.
Which is then the Arizona, why marriage matters Arizona.
Yeah. That's
and that's where kind of all of these groups and organizations, so there's the lawsuit A, lawsuit B, which are both doing the same thing. There's a little bit different wording and a little bit different reasoning behind each
of them.
Well,
that one has a federal implication.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Right.
Which is going to stop it from getting further than it can, because just because you recognize it in a state doesn't get you those federal things.
It's because of those federal benefits that they're really promoting and pushing this.
And then there's the third piece, which is the Why Marriage Matters Arizona campaign, which is ultimately a campaign strictly at this point to influence kind of hearts and minds and just really, really educate people. It's designed to educate the very kind of average Arizona voter. And so that if these court cases don't go through, that if we have to put this back on the ballot, we will have a chance of winning a voter-approved amendment because we are working to change the minds and educate people in the state.
Okay.
And that's actually going very, very, very well. And that group is going out there talking to Republican groups, senior citizens, churches in Mesa, big time in the churches.
Wow.
They're like churches in Peoria and like all over the state.
Well, now the Mormon church got such backlash from so many different places on the Hawaii and the 8 and the that the Mormon church is kind of like
toned
their rhetoric way down. And then in Uganda, I don't know if you heard that horrible anti-sodomy law in Uganda was struck down by Uganda's courts,
which is huge.
Who knew they had a court system?
Right.
And it's all Obama's fault.
Of course.
No, sure. But even in Arizona, there's a Republican, big time Republican political strategic like policy group.
Strategery
is what they
strategist
is
maybe?
What they do. What did I say?
All these big words.
Yeah, I don't know.
I appreciate the strategery.
But it's a Republican group that's also working with the Why Marriage Matters campaign. So it's
wouldn't be the log cabin Republicans because they don't have spines.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
No,
yeah.
They hate gays, actually. It's really interesting how they work.
They hate themselves.
They do.
Yeah,
they do indeed.
They're almost the lowest form of life.
Don't over underestimate them.
But
yeah,
good things happening in Arizona. It just might take a little. The courts might not. The courts are dicks.
Yeah,
they really might not be on our side ever. But we're hoping to get the people of Arizona.
Well, courts are falling like dominoes. So let's get
Except
it in front of them.
I don't think Arizona. I don't know if Arizona.
I just don't.
Do it.
Yeah,
That's fine. That's, I'm just worrying
about... There's so many more banjos here than there are in other places in the United States.
But surprising.
And what's our circuit court district? Like, I can't figure out, like, why nothing has linked up. Like, what which circuit court are we part of that, like...
Yeah, let's find
you know,
out.
That they already did the Utah, Colorado, you know, that one all went with one circuit court. The one that's ruling in the Mid-Atlantic, that circuit court
we
handled all those states.
We have the circuit court of Cunt Jan Brewer.
But who are we?
We're the ninth.
These are my guests.
We are the ninth circuit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We are with federal courts with appellate jurisdiction over the district courts in the following districts: Alaska and Arizona.
Oh, okay. Well, that, no, that makes sense. We'd be the last two states, so we would be that they put us, they lumped us together.
I just pictured that's Sarah Allen and Jan Brewer.
Why isn't it going?
One.
Like, why aren't we part of this group with Utah? But that answers the question of
because it's just us in Alaska, and
they only had until 19.
Yeah. They don't care up there in Alaska.
I hate those two people.
Well, so I wonder if Hawaii has their own then, because that I mean we're like the 47th state, 48th yeah. state.
There was only a way to look it up.
Oh, wait a minute.
1912. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Wikipedia is getting crazy because I think someone yeah. else. Oh, wait. The United States ninth appellate jurisdiction over the following. Oh, wait. There's more than just that.
Okay. I'm assuming you went alphabetically.
Alaska, Arizona. I did indeed.
Yeah.
Just didn't open that box there.
Oh, I'm going to let that
certain
go.
Pieces of California, not all of California, Hawaii, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, and some of Washington.
Okay. So, okay.
We're all over the pieces part.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
But Nevada.
But Nevada already fell.
Already did.
And then, but Nevada had their part of
in California, but they're a whole different story.
Right. So just very strange. And Green Hawaii. Valley is actually to the furthest south that actually borders Mexico.
Oh, then I'm completely wrong. I thought it was up north. There's, or is it Golden Valley? There's
Green
some other valley on the
valley
way you go through on your way to Vegas.
Right there.
All right, down there. Got it. This is Q Talk America at the end of hour one. Hour two is coming right after this little transition. And then Al's going to give us our drinking word, and then the fun really begins, because then we sit here for two more hours and say the word over and over and over. Just get loaded. Doesn't matter. You're with us. Thank you for joining us, either in the chat room, watching us live, or listening to us live. You are with the show on Q Talk America. We'll be back in just seconds.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It is just a little past the hour of 8 o'clock. It is a Tuesday night. This is the beginning of hour two. It's the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We come to you each week from 7 to 10. That's Arizona time on a Tuesday night. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. There is Tomo in New Zealand and Richard
Hi,
in Tomo. Quebec, Canada.
Hi, everybody.
Meow Cal is up in Minnesota. Harrison is in L.A., correct? Mm-hmm. Proper. Is she in L.A. proper?
Echo Park. Yeah,
Echo Park, she's
right
there.
Right near downtown
L.A. Lovely. Marnie's girls listening. My mom is listening. So many people. Thank you for listening. And if you want to join us in the chat room, please do so. Just go to QTalkAmerica.com. At the top of that page, you're going to see a bar that says Chat Live, and you can click on it, take you right to the page, and you can join the witty and mostly feudal conversation that's going on in there, because we're everything from salad lovers to mechanophiles to bus enthusiasts.
I gotta go to salad. I gotta do it.
I know you gotta do it.
There's a lot going on. Anyway, beginning of hour two, that
I might
always,
join you, salad lover.
That always takes us to a segment that we hold near and dear. It's called our drinking game, and it starts off something like this.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, our drinking word is in honor of Quebec and everybody from all the Canadians as we wanted wee wee.
Wee wee.
That's our wee wee.
I like it.
O-U-I.
I was saying it's O-U-I.
Yeah.
So wee-wee. By the way, whenever you have to get up to go to the loo,
just wee wee. Wee wee.
Different wee.
It is, wee-wee. But I'm thinking sounds of ways you can
incorporate
it. The danger homonyms.
Synonyms.
Homonyms.
Homonyms.
Sound-alikes.
Sound-alikes. There we go. Anonymity.
Homonymity.
Homonymity. Hamina, 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 hamina. Okay. Oh. Continuing on with our headlines, don't forget our drinking word now is wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
So anytime we say wee-wee, you take a little drink of your wee-wee.
No, don't.
Whatever you're into.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, yep. Salad lovers. They have a community on Facebook and, well, Pinterest. I'm thinking they're not lovers.
They also legitimately have SaladMatch.com.
Are you ready for this? Oh, my God. This is the best one ever. Now have their own sneeze-guarded dating app.
Oh, my God. That's
good. Oh, I don't think I want to see that sneeze guard. Speaking of cleaning things up, police say a suspect accused of robbing a 94-year-old Albuquerque man was caught after he shaved and showered in the victim's home, thereby leaving evidence. We've all seen Forensic Files.
Mm-hmm.
The Albuquerque Journal reports that reports authorities say 43-year-old Rudy Chavez was arrested Saturday following the bizarre robbery. According to a criminal complaint, Chavez held Glenn Miller, not the big band leader.
Yeah, still dead.
Real dead.
Now, here's what I understand. According to the criminal complaint, Chavez held Mr. Miller at gunpoint while he showered and shaved, and then got dressed in Miller's clothing.
Well, that's friendly.
But I'm guessing you're 94. Maybe you're not moving too quick. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
And then he left with Miller's car, television, and some cash. The complaint says that Chavez told Miller he was committing the robbery because he'd just been released from prison and couldn't find work.
Oh, there you go.
Albuquerque Police Lieutenant Paul Syke
said...
But
there was good work in prison.
As you do.
Yeah.
The police lieutenant... Paul Sykes said the investigators identified Chavez through fingerprints that he'd left on the shaver and on a bottle of mouthwash. Chavez faces a number of charges, including kidnapping. It was not known if he had an attorney at the time.
But he has been freshly shorn.
But he's freshly shorn.
I bet they contacted his probation officer and said, yeah, we got this one.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to send him back.
Going to give you a replacement. There's that.
So, a lick and a kick.
Oh,
I'm licking a kick. Oh,
She's still licking.
Talk about your adding insult to injury.
Okay.
No, really.
All right.
Madison, Wisconsin, police say that there was a woman who was sighted after climbing into a giraffe exhibit.
Oh, I heard about this.
Zoo. Okay. And then getting kicked in the face.
Oh.
By the giraffe.
By the giraffe.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was going to be by the giraffe. Yeah. That would make the story better.
It totally does. I know.
Just a random teenager. Fun, but not the same.
The police report says that 24-year-old Amanda Hall of San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo.
You got to pronounce it. You got to white it down.
She climbed over one fence and almost got over the second fence of the giraffe enclosure. At the zoo, but a 2-year-old 12-foot-tall giraffe named Wally gave her a lick and a kick right in the face. Right in the kisser. Apparently, and not I did wee-wee. Not realize this, like, I knew that giraffes were very strong and actually very fast. Apparently,
they have long legs.
They can kill lions. Yeah, but they always look like they're going to snap their legs, you know, but they're real fast. And they can kill lions. They're capable with their kick of killing lions. The woman was pretty fortunate that she
wasn't
doesn't
a lion.
Have. Yeah. There's no roar.
See,
I'll put him home. Do it again. Do it again. Different lion.
Different lion.
Yeah.
Police ticketed her for harassment of zoo animals.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is a fine of $686, hence the insult to injury.
And a kick in the face.
Just round it up to 700, people. What are you going to piss?
I don't know, piss me off. I know, right?
Because I'd be so annoyed. Like, really? 80, you're going to give me change from the 700?
$686.50.
Yeah. Fuckers.
Anyway, she did it because she likes giraffes.
Well, now
they don't like her.
Well... And they have shown that they do not like her.
Adult night out at the zoo, like drinking at the zoo. just like a water bottle.
No, people
of vodka
don't need liquor.
The
they're just stupid at the zoo.
Fuck,
there's always
that?
Somebody that there's lean a, over yeah. and lean over, and you're like,
I'm going to pet that.
That giraffe looks so sweet. I'm going to just climb in there with it.
Let me play fair right now because I have a.
You're dating someone who would do it?
A little bit. Now, when I say that, when we went to that zoo sanctuary up in Prescott, there was a rather large bear, let's say. And she's like, I'm going to go up. I want to pet it. You know, whatever. And babe, I'm not making fun of you. I'm imitating. She
highest form of flattery.
I'm aping. So she goes up. She wanted to go up and play with this rather large bear.
And we're not like, talking about a fat gay guy. We're talking about an actual animal, right?
No, that was Joe Groove. That was an old friend of hers.
Important distinction when petting.
The danger.
Yeah. Real big difference.
Danger of hominins.
Yes.
So anyway, she really did. She wanted. Now I, on the other hand, just kind of wanted to go in with the lemurs because they were funny, you know, whatever. And you can hold them, but that would be the difference.
Is she thinking that this bear is like going to be like, hey, boo boo, we got Yogi Bears?
And I would all like sudden, to go on a picnic.
Yeah, no, there's no picnic.
And that's there's a fantastic documentary called Grizzly Man, and it's Carson. What's his name? Carson from Queer Eye Meets the Straight Guy. What was that show called?
Carson Kressley.
Carson Kressley meets Tickle Me Elmo while being a complete and total fucktard near grizzly bears in the wild. It's a delight.
$4.95.
I cannot recommend this documentary highly enough.
And... $27.50.
Yeah,
but he's retarded. I have to break the wee wee rule on this one. It's called Grizzly Man. And the best part is that he filmed most of the documentary himself.
Right.
And perfect. There's a surprise ending for a movie that was filmed by the star. but you actually have got
feel
to
like
see this
definitely
movie.
He dies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hardcore.
Oh my god!
I gotta Google it. Grizzly
just
Man.
Just about 20 minutes into the movie, you are so on the bear side of like, get the annoying fucker out of the Alaskan wilderness.
Just go ahead and rip that fucking thing apart.
And everybody, and he tells everybody, "Oh, the bears love me, and the government likes my important research." And then they cut to like Ranger Pete. We said no. We emphatically stated he cannot get that close to a bear. We can't save him. They love me up here. We ask him every day to go home.
Oh my god, I have to watch this.
And it's not at all funny. It's just funny if you have my sense of humor that I laughed through the entire thing because it was Tickle Me Elmo in the wilderness with a bear that was just gonna fucking eat him.
It does. Yeah,
the bear probably does. Was like, all right.
And then
I'll
they show all the footage to famed documentarian Herzog. I can't think what Herzog's name is. It's Herzog. I'm making all the right noises with my mouth, but famous documentarian. And they show him the footage,
Werner
and he's like,
Herzog.
Yeah, Werner Herzog. They show, and I can't remember if he takes credit for directing him. I think he gets credit for putting it together and directing it. But you watch
Werner
him
Herzog
watch the
film.
Footage. Somebody brings him all the footage and says, "Do you want to make a documentary out of this?" And he's just like quietly delighted. And you really have to have that right sense of humor to catch. Is like, oh yeah. We're letting the world see this.
The man signed a waiver.
But one part of the documentary is him watching the documentary he's going to produce going, oh yeah. That's going to theaters.
This isn't directed.
And not just the artsy
completely
ones.
Completely twisted.
I am watching this when I get home.
Oh, you will thank me. The entertainment value is off
I'm
the
literally,
fucking charts.
Yeah, no, I'm into
Marty,
it.
Did you finish what you were saying? You're
good. We got a lot of mileage out of that.
Well, I wasn't sure.
Lick it and kick it.
Yeah, lick it.
Well, now I know that the three of you don't really have to deal with this, and I don't either, because the toilet seat debate, you know, leave a toilet seat up, down. Because I'm going to guess you two girls, it's always down. You live alone. And I have a steadfast rule that when you're done, you close the whole thing. I don't like it to be open. So. North Dakota man is admitted to assaulting his sister over a toilet seat. WDAY-TV in Fargo reports that 24-year-old Thaddeus Morgan has changed his plea to guilty to charges of simple assault and interference with telephone conversation during the emergency call. Records show that the fight started when Morgan forgot to put the seat down, which made his sister very mad. Morgan then pushed and hit her. He tried to stop her from calling 911. Leah Viste, which I guess is his sister, Leah Viste is an assistant state attorney in Cass County. Viste tells the station that this was a case was simply a sibling fight that got out of control. Court records show Morgan had been sentenced to 1 year of supervised released and... they missed a word in this, because I don't write this. Court records show that Morgan has been sentenced to 1 year of supervised, released, and ordered to take an anger management class. Some word is missing in there, but supervised, I don't know, something. He was then released.
I think that means he wears an ankle bracelet.
I don't know.
Likely.
Yeah.
Right.
Or someone takes him to the bathroom.
Fought your sister to wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
Jeez. All right.
Be afraid.
Got it.
Oh. Well, let's do this one. Can you...
What was that?
I was going to have you cue up crime scene footage, but...
Well, I can, but... Are we reenacting?
I'm wondering what the chicken's intent was on this one. In Portland, Oregon, police were told there was a chicken, and it was attempting to cross the road.
Shut up!
Why, though? Why?
We don't know the chicken's intent.
Mm-mm. We do not...
In fact,
he's in a tent.
No one will. Wait. We just can never know. Yeah. We'll never know.
He's in a tent?
No.
Well,
intent.
Oh, gotcha.
Not in a tent. In fact, the citizen who called the police, non-emergency line, on Monday evening reported that the chicken's efforts to cross a road in North Portland neighborhood were bringing traffic to nearly a standstill.
Oh, my God.
He assured the dispatcher he was not joking. The dispatcher chuckled and asked a clarifying question. Is it just the one chicken? The caller?
Just the one deer.
Yes.
Just the one.
Yeah.
One cock.
Sergeant Pete Simpson says responding officers were unable to locate
the chicken. I'm glad the dispatcher was at last name Sanders.
Yeah.
I'm glad they weren't choking it.
No.
And so he knows.
Wee-wee.
Police were unable to determine, because they could not locate the chicken, what the chicken's
intent was.
Yes. Oh. To cross the road.
Oh!
But, it still lingers. It's still,
your chicken lingers.
Your chicken lingers.
I used to like chicken lingers.
How would you describe your cooking? Lingering. I'm still gasping.
Explosive.
Combustive engine.
Self-exiting. Okay, this next story. It's going to just brace yourselves, because this is just crazy. A 52-year-old man nicknamed the Penis Collector has been arrested by police in Slavonski, Croatia.
Good porn comes out of Korea, Croatia.
It's Slavonski Brod, which is a small city in eastern Croatia, on suspicion of possessing and collecting of human body organs.
Oh.
The man was apprehended earlier this week when authorities entered his apartment and found jars and jars and shelves and shelves of human penises soaking in formaldehyde. Swear to God. According to, and Google this, if you need to look it up, look it up. According to the sources, the man whose name has not been released works as a registered nurse at a city hospital. He has no criminal record and has been described by some people as a family man.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah, described as a family man, though others say that he was an alcoholic who often showed up drunk. In the same story, on behalf of all employees of the hospital, I have to say we're very unpleasantly surprised by an event that threw a shadow over this hospital.
Did the shadow look like a penis?
A hospital spokesperson said...
The shadow knows.
Yeah.
A hospital spokesperson said, our apologies to the families of the deceased. It is unclear how exactly police learned about the, quote, collection.
Oh, my God.
Also
Salad.com.
And this is a bad way sentence. It's also unclear how the man got his hands on so many penises.
Yeah. I too enjoyed that sentence.
Though it is believed they were cut off of dead bodies of hospital patients. The man, who has been released from custody, now awaits criminal charges for disturbing the deceased, which has a maximum sentence of up to 2 years in jail.
Now, my question to you,
wee-wee.
Well, lots of wee-wee in anymore. Now, is it 2 years per penis?
That's what I wondered. I wondered that too, but
because that's a lot of years.
that's a good question.
Wow!
That's,
if you actually Google penis collector and then look at images, it's some real weird shit.
Jeffrey Dahmer called, still dead.
Yeah,
but he called and he wants his collection back.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come
excuse
on.
Me.
Hello, what a fucking bunch of weirdos!
Wow, they're all crazy weirdos.
What did we Google? Penis collectors.
If you Google penis collector and then look it up, there's interesting things like this piece of wall art that is clay molds of people's genitalia.
So I heard that
that's different,
but it's really kind of neat
that he took all these to a taxidermy guy and said, make me something.
No, he just buys formaldehyde in bulk at Costco and puts them in mason jars.
It could be, but what if he did? I mean, think about the ramifications of that. He takes it to a taxidermist. Taxidermist could then, like, make something
for him. Use the word ramification.
Wee-wee.
Al, what are you doing?
So, but think
I'm
about
looking
it.
At the pictures of the penis collection.
Yeah. Really you have all bizarre. These penises. You hand back a wallet. The guy makes a wallet out of them. You hand it back.
Is it waterproof?
Maybe. Oh, come on. That's and just then, straight up.
And then he says, "How?" But there were a lot of penises. How did you only make it this small wallet? And he goes, "When just put your hands on it, it'll become a stagecoach. That thing will get bigger. Get your hands on
well,
it."
Well, you went a long way for
it
that.
Was, it, it, but you kept interest.
Well, blame me for that landing poorly.
Speaking okay. of landing,
unable to stick the landing
and landing poorly. Pilot's artificial arm detaches while landing. Thank you for that.
News at 11.
Whoops, where's my arm? A British Air accident report has recounted how a pilot briefly lost control of a passenger plane after his artificial arm became detached from the control yoke during landing. Now, you thought you had it bad because that person passed away on your flight.
Oh, I was fine with it. It didn't bug me. Marge just died.
She sure did. The 46-year-old pilot shortly before flight. Checked his prosthetic lower left arm, and it was securely attached. But as he performed a maneuver just before touchdown, the limb became detached.
Does it say what maneuver he was performing?
Yeah. Well, actually, it did. But I don't know what it is, so it doesn't matter. I don't want to find it. Anyway.
The arm?
That just fell down.
All right.
That's why it was almost an accident. You know when you drop something and you're driving in the car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, and it's
and
not
all of a sudden
like
the airplane landed in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, it's not like he could actually reach it anyway because his arm was so much shorter.
Grab it with your hand. I can't. It's my hand.
I can't. Anyway, no one was hurt. Thank God. Except, well, I mean, not even him. He just lost his arm. About the, you know, next time he's going to be more cautious with checking the attachment. Of his
or just attach it to the plane and stick your arm stub to it.
There I'm saying. You know, and also he's going to brief his co-pilots about the possibility of a similar event. Now, when we're flying,
there's a chance.
There's my arm. A chance. A slim, slim, slim chance. But a
I'm
chance
only
going to
have this one.
Yeah.
This one falls
this.
Off.
It could be this. And then that. We don't know.
We don't know.
At this point, we don't
You work with what you've got.
That's right. True. You do. You do.
It reminds me of that old
thing. There's the Americans with Disabilities Act. Of course, they're in Britain, so.
Yeah, the Peanuts cartoon when one of the female ones, we'll pick a lesbian. She's drinking
Lucy?
She's drinking the
peppermint patty.
Sure, them. She's drinking the cold drink. She's like, I got a head freeze. Like, blow on it. It's my head. I can't blow on it. Blow on it. It's my head. I can't blow on it. It's like one of the few cartoons
Marcy?
I ever liked. I don't know.
Sally?
Again, not big on comics or cartoons.
Just
but,
go ahead with all of them. Just
but that just
them.
Reminded me that of with the grab it. It's my arm. I can't grab my arm.
But just grab it.
Yeah.
But it's my arm. I can't grab it.
No, I normally don't look.
Blow on it. But it's my head.
I don't normally look at headlines for this particular, and I'm going to use the, liberally use the term, performer or entertainer for this, but you'll understand that it's got a local tie-in, so you'll see why I'm doing it. It's no secret that one of Britney Spears' songs, "The Oops, I Did It Again," is like it's one of the iconic video of hers, and everybody knows that song. When you think of Britney Spears, "Oops, I Did It Again" is
and
often
filmed in the Grease High School.
Oh,
is that right?
Well, in large part,
Rydell High.
In large part, that the video was unforgettable due to the interlude that she has in the video with a hot astronaut. Who brings her the Titanic necklace. I don't know if anybody... And I had to watch it because I didn't remember that
this
part.
This is an Oops, I Did It Again?
Oops, I Did It Again was in the video. She has an interaction with a hot astronaut. Now, this is the hot astronaut.
Why does he look familiar?
In the video. That's him in the video, okay?
Right.
Got it. So, the astronaut's real name is Eli Swanson. And at the turn of the millennium, back in 2000, he was a model working for brands like Ralph Lauren and Nike and Adidas. Well, he's all grown up now. He's 38 years old. And not only, he's not an astronaut at all, he's a doctor. And actually, he's better than that, he's a surgeon. Well, requests for comment from Dr. Swanson's office through an employee of his practice has yet to return any calls or notification, probably because he's busy being a doctor and doesn't really give a shit about the Britney Spears video anymore.
Yeah.
But here's what we do know about him since the video. He graduated from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons in 2006. And after his residency, he's now working as a trauma surgeon in, wait for it,
Florida.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Say his name again.
Eli Swanson. Eli Swanson, he's a trauma surgeon in Phoenix. So if you're in Phoenix or in the area and you happen to break your ankle, look for him.
He'll be the good-looking one.
Yes.
He's a cutie. No, he's a cutie.
I just thought that was funny.
It is funny.
Yes. So he's here in town, so I'm going to find him. Eli Swanson is his name.
But I love that he went from like being a model.
He was a hot
to being a trauma surgeon. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Hot trauma surgeon.
So my guess is all the modeling, because whatever he did, he pocketed all that money, put himself through school. Might it just going to be a guess? Smart. I don't know. I may be wrong.
I want to know where he has privileges.
Well, then you'll figure.
It looks like he's actually.
I work with trauma surgeons every once in a while.
So I figure Al will probably stalk him and find him.
Yeah.
This actually says Maricopa Integrated Health System.
Oh, you've already found him. Well, then there is that.
I work for Banner, not. And I have my cup turned the wrong way, so I can't prove it.
But I don't know when that was, or if that's still accurate.
Don't know, but that's. I'm hoping. I don't want to break an ankle or break anything, but.
Oh, he lives close by too.
Oh, see, oh, look at that.
Well, seriously, that's Street some stalking. Roosevelt. Oh,
wasn't that?
Oh,
I don't know.
He lives right across from.
She's back in.
Now she's back in, right?
Well, no, but the fact that you just found all that. He lives right across from the...
No, that's the hospital, I think. Yeah. That's the
hospital.
That's county.
Thank you. Because I'm like, he lives right there. That's why I went,
His office
he's not a very successful trauma surgeon.
Wait, his office is in county.
That's St. Luke's.
Is that Phoenix St. Luke's?
That's like 20th. Yeah. 24th and Roosevelt would be county hospital.
I never remember where Phoenix St. Luke's is.
You're right. You're right.
Van Buren and
stimulating for people not in the Phoenix metro area.
Hey, but if you want to break your hip, ankle, or any of the other things he does, he is a cutie. And I get confused. Ho, ho. Oops, I Did It Again is not the one I was thinking of. I remember the astronaut. Oops, I Did It Again. I was thinking of the one where she's in the high school.
In the high school,
she's the slutty teenager.
Oops, that was her very first one.
Yeah,
hit me, baby, one more time.
Should have taken her up on that offer, but I didn't. But all I remember is
Kevin
with Oops, I
Bet.
Oh, I know he hates this conversation, but Kevin. I was in New York.
I feel like I need to like just
the
get
fact
it out.
That
I was in New York at a bar, and the song came
That's
on,
awesome.
And at the same time, everybody in the bar just turned to the screen and went, "She's not that talented." And That's I fantastic. Thought, I have found my people. Yeah. Like, I had to travel to New York to find
them. Just people. Go hug everyone at that point.
Like, right. I was going to do a story this
week. And I like to call it the ironically titled Best Of.
Yeah.
This For is those who don't best, understand the correct use of irony.
Right. Best lip syncing I could possibly do. There was actually a story that came out this week that she, they're not charges, but they're allegations of her lip syncing in this show in Vegas.
No.
And I'm like, have you not followed her whole goddamn career? Apparently there's a song that she does that actually it's a track from the original singer that she's doing. Yeah, like every song. Because I keep joking. Everybody who flocks up there to Vegas to see her, I'm like, why?
It's a horrible show.
She's not
Everyone that has been
she's not
says
performing.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I have no desire ever to go see her.
Period. It's like, oh, she's a great dancer.
Not anymore. No. Maybe at one point she was a little bit, but no, got nothing. Okay.
She had great editors.
Yeah, George Michael, same way. Can't dance to save his life, but those videos make it look like
Donna
you
Summer can't dance, and the editors can't help her.
Well,
she has like one move.
Oh, God, because I was watching some of her old videos after things you had told me, because I always save what I pull up here and go back to it later, and there were some silly videos.
Oh, yeah.
It was the video that we were talking about last week, I think it was last week, of the, like, the It's the World, or like the...
Oh, State of Independence.
That one.
Well, she's also mega, mega super pregnant, and videos were new, and black people still weren't on MTV.
Yeah.
So there really was not a big need, because no one was going to see that video. It was 82, and black people were not on MTV.
Yet. I saw live. Oh, it was live. It had the little girl on the stage.
Oh, her daughter. Oh, that's her daughter. You saw the
live
Hot Summer Night concert.
Yeah.
Oh, the video's even worse. But that's her kid. That's Mimi.
Now I got to look at the video.
The one that sings?
Yeah, that Mimi comes out and sings.
She's
State
adorable.
Of yeah.
Adorable.
It's funny you say black people weren't on MTV yet, because one of the first VJs was J.J. Jackson.
Yeah, playing all white videos,
Right, no, but I'm saying he was on.
Michael Jackson Beat It was the first first video by a black person in heavy rotation. And you know who the first female black person in heavy rotation was?
Tina Turner.
She works hard for the money.
Huh?
And she couldn't. She can't be the star of it. She can only sing up in the thing. The video had to be about a white woman.
What?
Yeah, because
MTV wouldn't play it.
MTV wouldn't play
as recent as the 80s.
Isn't that
That's
insane.
Ridiculous.
Well, we're watching
so it had to be a white woman.
Right now, anyway,
she works.
So.
She had to be a waitress, and then she has to stand up. She can't be in the... If you watch the video, she's standing on a fire escape way above the dancers, because she's barely in the video.
Oh, I have to watch again.
I'm watching it now.
Because it's about a white woman dancer. Like, it's just craziness.
Let's use this to make our transition from headlines of worthless shit to headlines about entertainment things of worthless shit. Yeah. It's Al Perkins!
Entertainment!
There you go! It's you! Do you want me to point at you? You're on, bitch.
What? The Creative Arts Emmys, the Schmemmys, as they're called, were on. True Blood season finale is this week. And then we have a story. We have a pretty big death. And I want to say our show mascot has a story in the news that we'll get to.
There's a story about a
cunt. It's just a shitty summer for entertainment. Like, there's just not any good movies
Who's
out.
Who's our show mascot?
He'll get to it.
Okay.
Settle the fuck down. No,
calm down, Margaret.
Super intrigued.
All right, so
Tomo, I swear to God.
Margaret.
That was my grandma's name. That's why I'm like, oh,
Margo, calm it down.
Awesome. So True Blood will wind up this Sunday with its series finale. And it really has a good, they've done a good swan song. They really have done a nice exit out of it. The couple storylines that I thought were a little bizarre to bring in a, like, kind of a really, really secondary, even tertiary character to the show and make her a big part of the last season was really weird, but they wrapped that up in a really nice way that it was really about Tara, that even though Tara dies, sorry, and fuck you, if you are not watching True Blood, you're not going to catch up on it later. But they brought it back, but the series finale is going really well. And so it's on this Sunday, and it's good.
I don't know if anyone else noticed that. He's like, fuck you. Because you're not going to cut. It was like right at me.
It wasn't at all.
I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I was busy doing other things.
I just figured at this point, if the craze of True Blood missed it, you're not going back.
So you watch all of the episodes.
Yeah.
So there was an episode where they were at a lake house.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that one?
Uh-huh.
It's recent. And it's my friend's house. It's a friend of mine's home on Malibu Lake near Malibu, California. It's Malibu. And I've stayed at the house before, so I don't watch True Blood at all. But she had been posting all of. There's a lot of things filmed in this lake.
What did you say, Mala?
It's called. It's Mala B O U. So it's not Malib. It's not M I.
It's like Malibu.
M A L I B U. It's Mala B O U.
Okay.
But it's very, very near Malibu, California. It's like on the other side of the hills.
And that's
like
the poor persons. And they do that to make it look like Louisiana, that they film a lot there, right?
They film a lot there because it was really cool. There's been a number of old movies filmed specifically at their little house. Because they're one of the only homes on the lake that hasn't been like updated to a mega mansion, you know? And it's just the cutest little home. And they have a dock out into the lake. And, so she was posting all these photos of all of
I want to say that Dexter did some episodes there.
It's possible. But right after they were filming True Blood, at her neighbor's house, they were filming Sons of Anarchy. And so then she was posting all these photos of the Sons of Anarchy crew. And so cool.
Yeah, because there was one season that they really did film in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then I think like the David Duchovny X-Files, somebody put it in their contract like,
then we're done.
We need to be in LA.
Yeah.
Like this needs to, you know, one of those things where people put in their contract, like, I want to be close to my children. This Vancouver's been fun and I love filming in the freezing cold in the winter.
Yeah, but.
And everything looks like Virginia, but we're done here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, Hannibal's all filmed in Ontario to make it look like anywhere. And they just changed the locale slightly to make it look like, because they're supposed to be in Virginia and so is the X-Files. So they would film in Vancouver, and then finally, like fourth or fifth season, David Duchovny was a big enough star to be like, "Fuck you all!
Yeah,
you're not. You don't need to save money anymore. We're a big hit. We're going to L.A." And so they had to do a lot of improv shots that nothing looks like the East Coast in L.A. So
yeah, it's very cool, and it does. It's very not. Doesn't look like the West Coast in the mountains. And
so they do a lot of stuff there. And Dexter had a scene in a swamp, and Dexter was all done with green screens. Like most of those people were like just standing on a set with whole green screen. Yeah, because they were like nowhere near Miami.
And murdering things.
They were nowhere near Miami.
Steven, are you wondering about Dexter or which show? He has a thing in here about
in the chat room. Steven and Rich are talking about. Originally talking about Fallen Skies.
Oh, is Stephen? Are you referring to that?
Okay. Yes, and I have it on my list. I seriously, and like in between, I'm trying to make up for all the money I've spent this summer. I've been working like a crazy person. But Falling Skies. I will have an episode watch by next week. Or is Richard starting school?
Next,
so you'll have to hear about it when you go to school. So anyways, just interesting on that one, or not really interesting, but happened. And then let me follow. We'll go to... I hate this thing. Select all. Copy. Hold on a second. The Creative Arts Emmys are always given out the week Shmemmies. Before. The Shmemmies. Famously named that by...
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin. And then she won a couple, so she's not so shitty about the Shmemmies anymore. So some surprising wins, some things that we all root for. They're completely unjustified when they have a cinematography Emmy and Hannibal wasn't even nominated. So you know these people are fucking lying. You know, quality is not their highest thing. Oh. But outstanding guest actress in a comedy series, which was the big news, was that Uzo Aduba won for guest actress in a comedy series for Orange is the New Black.
That European.
Which was huge. I followed them all on Twitter, on Instagram for some reason. And so, like, all that I had when I woke up that morning was Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
All of the cast members.
That it won. And she, Morgan Freeman actually did the, she was against Laverne Cox, could have won and been the first transsexual to win an Emmy. So the award was presented by Morgan Freeman. And I think... they're not televised, so you have to go and find the YouTube clips. But if you get to see the clip where she accepts the award from Morgan Freeman.
I saw all the stills on her Instagram.
Yeah, half of the deal from her was to receive an award from Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, because there was one...
The Emmy was really a secondary part of
the story.
There
was a photo where they were facing each other, and she's doing one of these, like, oh my God moments, and he's, like, standing there. It was
cute. And
she's
just snot bubble crying. Yeah. It was the time to be like, maybe you can just tell me about this. Don't take 8,000 pictures of me with snot coming out of my nose.
Right.
Outstanding host for reality or game show competition. It should have been Kat Dealy for So You Think You Can Dance, but it was Jane Lynch for Hollywood Game Night, and that show is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised when I watched that, like, once, because I thought it was going to be the worst thing ever.
And it was surprisingly entertaining, yes. Yeah. Unstructured reality program Deadliest Catch. Structured Shark Tank, not about sharks. I was very disappointed.
Oh my God, I love Shark Tank.
Yeah, but it wasn't sharks, so I couldn't
get
over
it. That's true, yep.
Variety Special was a tribute to Mel Brooks. Outstanding writing for a variety series, ending the complete reign of Jon Stewart. Stephen Colbert wins again for writing. And last year he finally won the Emmy for the show, The Colbert Report, after like 11 years of winning, Jon Stewart
took it, yeah.
So it's just, everyone's kind of getting on that page of like just how on the money Colbert is. Like he just has his...
But John Oliver is just coming up.
Really?
Like, and doing, but he's going to take over that spot.
I don't think he's online with Colbert, but he's...
But he's getting
he's
there.
He's really great.
He's very really funny,
but his is more
smart.
Educational.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I need pen and paper in hand to take notes, because it feels a little bit like a class lecture that's very funny.
Yeah, okay.
But I walk
and
away
that
from that show feeling very informed.
Yeah, I agree. He's smart, but
I love
sarcastic
how
and
the
pointed.
Sarcasm
yeah,
is awesome.
Yeah. It's very
awesome.
Similar. It's a la Colbert.
Yeah, and I fell into a coma. We're gonna get to it in an upcoming part, but I fell into a coma this Sunday, so I didn't watch. I'm catching up on this Sunday's TV, and all I saw was True Blood. But I know he covers Ferguson, and from what I understand, like he is the go to person for your
seen it either, but that's what I saw on social media.
Yeah, you guys should watch it.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, so
Stephen Colbert I love watching Law and Order. I work from home, and so I'm sitting there, and I always have the shit on. And I look up
that's a good
in the
one.
Background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
SVU. God,
and I look
it.
Up and I'm like, huh? And on the TV was Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, well,
and I'm like, wait a minute.
He was an actor.
Him in that, in this kind of weird role on Criminal Intent was just, it cracked me up.
Yeah.
I just
and then if you
minute.
Really want to find out how good he is as an actor, Strangers with Candy, Amy Sedaris.
Okay.
Where it's him, Amy Sedaris, and Paul, I think it's Paul Dino, wrote, created, produced it every single week.
Oh, he created that show?
Yeah.
One of the creators?
He was one of the three creators. And Colbert and Paul Dino play closeted gay teachers. It's Amy Sedaris's 40-year-old ex-prison junkie prostitute that goes back to high school.
Wee-wee.
Probably one of the funniest shows that's ever been on TV. And Comedy Central, for some reason, canceled it.
Yeah, I remember doing like a really late night, probably stoned, definitely drinking sleepover with Waylon Smith at one point in our lives, where we just watched Strangers with Candy on repeat for hours.
And the movie's terrible. The actual movie that they made from the series is absolutely horrible.
But the
TV show
is
offensive to everyone.
Yeah.
Absolutely everyone. when she goes, when she, her mother wants to get rid of her for the summer, so she gives her a box with a tomahawk, an Indian blanket, and I can't remember what the third item is. She's like, oh my God, this is from your real mother. It turns out you're Native American. She's like, oh my God. Well, that makes sense. So then they send her to camp, and I can't remember who, it's Will Ferrell.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Will Ferrell is leading the camp. And he's like, oh my God, this is exciting to be at Native American camp. Have you ever seen this many Native Americans together in one place? She's like, well, OTB, bars, lottery places. And Darren made me turn it off at the bar. Because Darren just could not handle how politically incorrect and offensive the show was.
Darren couldn't handle that. That's all.
Oh, honey, I like the pole and the pole. So anyways, big thing, directing for a variety series, Saturday Night Live, and then outstanding choreography, Nappy Tabs, if you watch the show and know how good Napoleon and Tabitha are. And again, people watch that stupid Dancing with the Stars bullshit where no one can dance, and here's this fantastic show. With truly creative people and some of the best choreographers in the business.
I have gone to their live performance.
And it's amazing.
Here, and it's really great.
It really is. I cry every week. It's fantastic television. Last week it was a tribute to Michael Jackson. It took me 2.5 hours to watch what was 1 hour and 10 minutes of television because I had to watch every dance 2 and 3 times. Yeah. Just amazing. Mm. So, and again, I can't even get people like you to watch. So you think like truly people that love dance to watch truly talented dancers, but you'll watch Dancing with the Stars.
I only watch Dancing with the Stars.
Good. And I'm okay if you can watch both, but you
really occasionally. I only watch it occasionally.
But so you think you can dance, and they're coming up the finale.
It is interesting, though. I have put it on before, and yeah, I just
because there's nobody you know, but you get to know them.
I don't get sucked in.
And it's so much, it's better than American Idol.
Justin Unga loves it and cried every week as well. He'd be like, oh my God, I was in tears. You have to watch it. And I
do. I cry every single week. It's so good. So let me think. Outstanding short format live action entertainment program. This is how desperate they are for categories. But Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Oh my God. Amazing.
And President Obama.
Soup's amazing.
If you've ever seen that episode.
Yes.
Oh my God.
All of those. Between Two Ferns is amazing.
Yeah. But the fact that that episode won an Emmy. So you got to wonder if Obama just won an Emmy. Like, who gets, I haven't Googled to see who gets the award.
It has to be Zach Galifianakis.
But you've got to wonder,
Googling.
If whoever's on there. But so Outstanding Special Class Program was the Tony Awards. Outstanding Informational Series or Special, Vice, which we all talk about. Bill Maher finally wins an Emmy, not for his show with his name on it, but for his executive produced.
Oh, yeah.
Vice is his show.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, or I'm on CNN whenever there's no news.
Eating things.
Right. Outstanding Writing for a Nonfiction Program, Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey, which is a really, really fun, interesting show with Tice Degrassi. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? The really smart fucker. He's an astrophysicist or something like that. He's the one that always he argues.
Oh, Neil
Degrassi. Neil Degrassi.
Neil Degrassi.
Yeah, yeah.
For what's I'm it? What, wait, for Cosmos.
For Cosmos,
Neil
right.
Tyson Degrassi.
So let me just think. There's a couple other fun ones in here. Outstanding Character Voiceover Performance, Harry Shearer for The Simpsons. Outstanding Stunt Coordination for a Comedy Series, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh my God,
I love that they got a stunt.
It's awesome.
Just really funny. Outstanding Guest Actor was Jimmy Fallon for Saturday Night Live. And there was one more in here. Oh, and Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics did not go to Sleepin' Single in a Twin Bed.
Oh,
wait,
but
they
it did go to the Tonys. It's Bigger. This year we're bigger. Where he did the whole song and dance with Pippin and remember with all the magic tricks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So amazing
that was very cool.
He didn't write it, though. I found out that Neil Patrick Harris didn't actually write that. Ooh. It was written for him, because the other years he's done that.
Man, I wanted the twin bed to get it.
I did,
just
too.
Just because I
really
love that
did.
Video.
Let's and then, do it in my twin bed, twin bed. You're going to like it.
It's all about Gene.
Oh, my God. Well, this says right here, Politics Sun-Times, I don't know, the Sun-Times Politics says... Forget about that Nobel Peace Prize. President Barack Obama won an Emmy over the weekend.
Oh, okay, so he did get. I was wondering because it's just the two of them, and they're kind of improvising. So I was wondering how they would give out that thing. And I'm like, I think he got it.
That is so amazing that our president just won
he's
an Emmy.
First American president in the history to ever get an Emmy.
Gotta be.
No,
well,
I think Clinton has one for a spoken. I think Clinton does have an Emmy, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, is that an Emmy or is that an? Emmy, or would that be
For a spoken? No, it's for a spoken word recording. I think Clinton did.
I was thinking Grammy. My bad. I was thinking a Grammy.
Yes, and I am too.
Okay.
We both went Grammy. So outstanding casting for a miniseries, movie, or special was Fargo. Outstanding casting for a drama series was True Detective. Outstanding casting for a comedy series, Orange is the New Black. So, I mean, it's all the stuff we're watching. My husband got an award, and now I have to find
Is this breaking news? Update about your husband?
Everybody knows that I am in love with and about to marry Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I don't know that Doug Wilkie knows that.
Bitches, I got there first. Do not let that cunt. Don't let that see you next Tuesday tell you that he got on the Joseph Gordon-Levitt train before me.
I'm just telling you.
Because I told him to watch Mysterious Skin, and I'll tell all of you, Mysterious Skin. Outstanding guest actress in a drama series, Allison Janney, that we talked about with Masters of Sex.
Oh, love her.
Where she had a big enough part that she could have gone supporting or that way. So she won that.
There were some other really good people. Wasn't that the category where we kind of liked everyone?
No, it's the one that she's in the next time for supporting actress in a comedy. Where she is for Mom. She's up for Mom. And she is the favorite there. This was the one that they weren't sure if she was going to win. So Allison Janney has a really strong chance of winning two Emmys this week. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt won for his show Hit Record, and that I thought was called Hit Record.
Looks the same.
Exactly. So there you go. So that's it for that. But the Nappy Tabs thing, Nappy Tabs does, they do contemporary hip hop, and they have just done some amazing, amazing things. And they won for three different things, but one of their ones is Run the World, which is Girls, We Run the World.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an amazing.
Eisenhower apparently won an Emmy in 1956 for What I Do Not Know. Apparently, now this is on answers.com. I could be wrong. But it also says that Carter, Clinton, and Obama have won Grammys for talking books.
Yeah, and I think...
For speaking for books. And so that means that Obama would then be the second president to win an Emmy.
Wow.
After Eisenhower.
I wonder what Eisenhower won it for, though.
Let's find out.
Yeah, that's worth Googling.
Get on that, Katie.
I don't have a whole lot for entertainment, so we're going to go here because I'm on the page. So, show mascot in general, I don't know why the fuck he's famous, is in trouble again. Ray J.
Oh, Ray J. Who the fuck is Ray J?
I saw something about Ray J the other day and I started laughing.
He's in legal hot water. The singer and actor was arraigned. A singer and actor. I like how loosely we're using these terms.
And that means sex tape guy.
Yeah, singer and actor was arraigned on charges of sexual battery, vandalism, battery of a police officer, and resisting and delaying a peace officer, stemming from a May incident in the Beverly Wilshire Hotel bar, which he allegedly groped a woman.
Whoa.
You can't get enough? I mean, you... And Beverly Wilshire, now... she was found in the Hilton. She was in the Beverly Hilton. Yeah. Is where he found Whitney. Because again, finger on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse. Who the fuck is Ray J?
Who the fuck is Ray J?
That's our first show, folks.
That was.
Go ahead.
Eisenhower. So he didn't actually win like a good Grammy. He won the Governor's Award.
Oh, okay.
For his use and encouragement of television during his presidency. Honorary. So really, Obama's the first one to like get
an
Emmy for his
when you become an EGOT. It's whether you're competitive or non-competitive. And Barbara Streisand doesn't have a competitive. She has a Tony Award, but it's a non-competitive
Tony. It's
like
a lifetime.
Yeah, she got an honorary Tony Award.
So she's not an EGOT.
She's not an official EGOT. And they're very big sticklers on that about who's got it and who doesn't. Liza does not have a Grammy.
You would think after all these years.
I know that she's mostly known for singing. And no Grammy.
Yeah.
I'm like, read a fucking book, because everybody gets this.
I want to know what you threw away, Barbara Streisand, what you threw away.
It was a CD from this last year, I think, 2013. It was called Release Me, and it was unreleased.
And he released it.
Oh, that got sent back into the wild. Horrible. Okay. Horrible. There was, she recorded a version in the 70s of Randy... Randy 19-time Academy Award nominee. Randy Newman's I Think It's Gonna Rain Today, which Bette Midler just sung the shit out of it in Beaches.
Yeah.
And she does an okay version of that, and she did When My Good Isn't Good Enough. That was pretty good, but she does Home from The Wiz, and she does it in what we can all decide is just the wrong key.
Oh.
And she's... It's, and there's a reason why she never released it, because it's shitty.
Because she knew.
Where and everybody was like, oh, if you
did. Place, I think yeah. I'm home.
And when you get to the big note, like, she just it. Doesn't go.
Is it all in a minor key, the whole thing, or what is she?
So off. And so I took it back. They only gave me $2 for it at Zia, but yeah. I took
I
it.
Wanted, I thought that thing was better than that.
So, Whoopi Goldberg is an EGOT.
And hers is surprisingly, her Tony is not for what you think it is. Let me say it. You think it's for her big Broadway triumph, Whoopi, you know, back when she did the My
Mom's
Long Luxurious.
Mobley, isn't it?
No, the Long Luxurious Blonde Hair. Remember when she did the four characters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's for producing Thoroughly Modern Millie. She won it as a producer.
Oh.
But that's still competitive, so it still counts.
Her Emmy's not for acting. Her Emmy's for talk show host for The View, the only time they ever won. So hers are competitive, but just not...
Not really.
They're not acting. So you're left with, like, Rita Moreno, who is, still...
The list is so short.
Shockingly short, and they're mostly composers.
And then, of course, Barbara has the non-competitive. And Liza. And James Earl Jones. They're the three non-competitive
Yeah, so they don't count.
EGOTs.
But Rita Moreno is the only one that has it, and all of hers
true,
are...
Like a true...
Right. Her Grammy is probably spoken word. It's for Who's? Sesame Street.
Rita Moreno.
Let's check
well,
it out.
You're looking
she's
for
where we
that.
Get, she's Molly, where we get EGOT from.
Molly makes me laugh. I laugh every time I see Ray J's name because of you people.
Yeah. Well,
he doesn't.
He does not. No, when I did last week, it must have been this story that was on there. And in the background, I'm working and I just hear Ray J and I just chuckle. It's like a, you know, like Pavlov.
And I couldn't resist it. He came up in the news and I'm like, who the fuck is Ray J?
I don't ever think of him at all, except when I see his name or I hear his name mentioned. I'm like, it always makes me, it does make me think of us as well.
Oh, it's very
damn
funny.
It. I hit it already.
But also, speaking of Rita Moreno, I went to see also this weekend the Valley Youth Theater production of
West Side Story,
and it was just really fun. They just did such a good job.
I've heard good things about that.
Those youth are ridiculous. Like, some of them are really gawky and weird and uncomfortable on stage because they're like weird high school boys.
Right.
But all of the girls looked really much older. I mean, it was everyone was so good. It was just really, really fun to see such incredibly talented young people.
And I've been meaning the 24th. It'll be here.
It was really
the 24th,
fun.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to tell you for years, you should keep your hair natural like mine. No, I'm just kidding. I've been meaning to tell you for the longest time, but
gee, your hair smells terrific.
If I kept my hair natural like yours, I'd be bald.
Thank you. Thank you. That's
You're
what
welcome.
We're looking
You're
for.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. So this January at the Orpheum, it's Guys and Dolls and Camelot. So
I literally want to – I actually want
to
take my daughter, and I just don't know if she could sit through it. But, you know, I play one of the old –
I think she's a little young.
Young. But I play one of the old original – one of the really old, still crackly recordings of Guys and Dolls. And she sings it. She dances to it. She wants me to not turn it off.
Yeah.
She might enjoy that song
she's
for now, but you know what I mean? Like,
she likes all of that.
Oh, does she?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She likes things like Adelaide's, Lament, like one of the songs that's not even in maybe the movie version. Adelaide. Like an old, Taking a Chance on Me. It's not one I even know, and that's like her favorite song.
Singing it beautifully, but I'm
Yeah,
no
you,
idea
you really
what
are.
What
no,
you're talking about.
It is. And I like to tell
so
people.
I'm excited.
But I want to go.
One of the greatest musicals ever written. And then Camelot. I'm trying to get my friend to bring her young son
because
he likes theater,
so
we'll go. We'll get tickets.
And I don't know if may I adjust?
Yeah, please.
If Meow Cal is still listening, but there may be a new Minnesota show in Stillwater called Stillwater.
Oh.
And it may be because of Fargo triggering people wanting to make something there. They're talking about calling it Stillwater. A New York cop's life spirals out of control once he moves to a small town in Minnesota. They're saying no cast members have been picked yet, but Leah Thompson is from Rochester, Minnesota, southern city, and she is married to the director and right.
We've talked about that connection
producer.
Before.
And Deutsch also directed Grumpier Old Men, shot in Minnesota. Mark Steven Johnson would be writing one of the first episodes from Hastings, Minnesota. There are lots of ties into Minnesota, and I just thought it was because I like Leah Thompson a lot. And so I thought, and it's called Stillwater. And it's like a really cool city.
That's neat.
Yeah,
and that's good
because
Fargo,
cool city.
Not in Minnesota.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
Always
but
cracks me up.
But that's how people associate it, and right. they because they go through Duluth and Bemidji, which is in Minnesota.
Yeah, and so in the movie, they only go to Fargo occasionally.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then we'll finish up entertainment with a death that I think affects a lot of us. On Monday, Don Pardo, the announcer for NBC's Saturday Night Live, starting with its debut in October 1975, passed away at the age of 96. But before he became the iconic voice of SNL, Pardo worked as a war reporter and was later one of the first people to announce the shooting of President Kennedy.
Oh.
And Tina Fey is quoted as saying, "There's no greater thrill than hearing Don Pardo bellow your name for the first time in the opening credits of SNL. It meant you were officially on television." He started in 1944. Career in news and show business spans 7 decades, according to the Daily News. And he's described as one of the most cherished voices in television history. He will be best known for his SNL introductions. He spent a time as a war reporter for NBC Radio, reading dispatches filed from the front lines in World War II. After the war, he made his mark working as an announcer for comedy and variety TV shows. But on November of 1963, he found himself covering one of the most traumatic events in American history. Following the assassination, he made NBC's first on-air announcement that JFK had been shot in Dallas. And Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed Mr. Kennedy. She cried, "Oh no!" And he went through and read it all, and that's how most people heard it. Wow. Still on radio.
Yeah, that's true. That's what my mom said.
Yeah, in an interview, he's quoted as saying, "Horrible. I mean, I couldn't believe it." You know, recounting the moment he heard the news, the editor or whoever it was that ran in from the newsroom came in, says, "We're going to break into the program and mention this. I have a copy of when I read the bulletin. I thought it sounded pretty good considering." Real cool man, but now in retrospect, thinking about it, I don't know how I did it. Like, he just read it as a story and didn't, like, put it to, like, what he was telling the nation.
Associated with what it was. Yeah,
yeah, like, breaking news, like, some of the biggest ever.
Started the original, and there's pictures of him where he actually used to stand off camera and do it. And I think you and I had talked about the fact that he officially retired years ago. And he may have...
He missed
actually
one.
Actually told them like he was leaving, and they let somebody else announce one episode, and they're like, "Oh, you're coming back." And that's how they got him
right.
to do
he
it.
He was one of the only two people in history of NBC that had lifetime contracts. Bob Hope was one, and he was the other. So they're like, "You got a contract for your whole life, so you might as well do it." So he used to when he moved out to here to he lived in Tucson. He used to fly every week on Saturday. He would fly to New York every week and do the live announcing for the show, and then fly back home. Well, then technology progressed along, and he was able to do similar to what we're doing. You know, we do a broadcast, or we can record from here. They would literally, I guess, email him the line or the band names and how it all was. So he recorded all of it and emailed it back to them, and they did it every week. So for many years, he's been doing it remotely, doing the voiceover stuff, and then unfortunately. You know, he just passed. That's so sad to realize that. I did queue up this in case, obviously, if you've been watching Saturday Night Live, just Google, YouTube it, whatever, you'll find it and you'll hear it.
But you have to Google SNL.
But his voice.
Jeopardy presents today's three contestants. This is Mrs. Norma Dances.
That's a horrible recording, but you can still hear.
And this is Mr. Larry Cosgren from
that's just
Hampton,
his,
you, New Hampshire.
Yeah,
you can, I like he was also background. Wait. What was that? That what was
that?
Was he was really Jeopardy. Jeopardy. It wasn't a parody. It really was the original.
That was the original in 1964.
They had a clip. Brian Williams had a clip tonight on the NBC Nightly News of him doing a showcase showdown description on The Price is Right.
Oh,
he used to also voice that. So they were like,
"No, he was that was Rod Rodney."
No, originally Don.
It was him.
Oh, was
and
him
they
at
had
first?
Him
okay.
going there like, "End up in this box."
What are our parting gifts, Don?
The pressure. You inadvertently called me Don. I know you realize.
That's the wrong guy. Wrong guy. My bad.
But it was fun. They like went through all of this stuff, and yeah, I mean, it's pretty insane to think that he's been.
That voice
on,
for that
for,
long.
Yeah. What, how, 70 years?
Yeah.
70 years.
It says he was no ordinary voice and guarded it closely with cough drops, like always with him, just in case.
That's so interesting.
But now I have to look that up because
that's what Clayton does.
I mean, I remember exactly. when The Price is Right was a primetime show because I'm that old. I remember The Price is Right wasn't a daytime. And I remember when Jeopardy
it was a
was,
black and white.
No, but it was part
time.
Of it was a primetime show.
I don't think you need to be a smartass, Katie.
So was,
I never had black and white TV.
But so was Jeopardy. I didn't either. We always had color. But that's why like certain
there
friends
go,
of
money.
Mine would come over because they had black and white longer than we did.
That's right.
What is that? This was.
Although I did have
hey,
to get
up
and actually change
things.
The station.
I'm on top of things. Look in the Star Tribune.
No, that was. Oh, no, here, this is him.
It's Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's him. That's the voice.
Yeah, it's such an iconic part of the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That it'll be interesting to see who they get
getting back to the announcing the early players.
And actually,
not ready for prime time.
He actually
flubbed.
He flubbed up and transposed two words, and that's how they came up with that.
Oh, really?
He read it wrong.
He said, not for ready, or it was very small. Yeah. They played it the first time, and I didn't catch it until they played it the second time. It was not for ready.
That's cool.
Primetime players. And they said he was nerves. They said it was nerves, and he was like...
I am so sorry. He was not just the announcer. He was, at one point, the host of The Price is Right. And I forget that The Price is Right goes back to 1956.
But you don't.
So I wasn't around for the whole thing. But Match.
I wasn't around for the whole thing.
But Match Game, I knew he was the announcer on Match Game. I didn't remember that that's Don Pardo.
What are the parting gifts, Don Pardo?
And the other one we were talking about, you know, in reference to how things are done, Peter Thomas. Peter Thomas, who is the voice of Forensic Files. He is another one who, like Pardo, started way, way back in the 40s and 50s and did, you know, he's been doing it forever. And I don't remember what his age is, but he's getting up there. He also does it where they email him all the scripts and he records all of it in Naples, Florida, and then emails the audio files, which literally, I mean, an entire episode of Forensic Files is 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so he probably voice tracks.
Spread out over a sparkling hour.
Yeah, right.
Right. But they probably, like, his time, he can probably track the whole show in, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. He tracks those, because obviously he's not speaking the entire time. Right. That's, and Katie and I were talking about, that's the job to get into.
Yeah,
totally.
People email you scripts, you literally sit here and read it and do whatever you've got to do, and then email it back and they...
So aside from you...
Yeah.
Other big voices, Don Pardo.
Don Pardo, Casey Kasem.
Welcome to a world.
In a world.
Don LaFontaine.
Yeah.
Casey Kasem.
Casey, right.
Now, what other kind of big voices are there now? I mean,
James Earl Jones is still there. Yeah,
correct, but I mean, like, the younger generation. Because if you're going to say Ryan Seacrest, I might vomit.
But
he's a host. He's not the... No, they don't really have that person like Rod Rodney
The
Rod Roddy.
That voice.
Rod Roddy.
Rod.
Died of breast cancer, oddly enough.
Is that right?
Yeah. Anyway,
so that's it for entertainment. And it's the last 2 weeks of So You Think You Can Dance. Give it a shot. Please, please, please. This show is so good, and they're kind of desperate for ratings, and it's amazing.
Don't
television.
Fuck it up, people. Watch
Don't
the show.
It. Watch the show.
Aaron's
it's
got it for
the
us.
End of hour two coming up on what
Morgan
is it? It's
Freeman,
hour three coming up after this. We have Katie coming up with sports and other stuff. I'm going to come back. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it. We're going to come back right after this crossover and just briefly touch on the wrap-up of Shark Week, which for some reason
I do have something
I thought went on longer than a week, just because it seems like it was on for fucking ever last year.
And you actually watched
part of it with you.
One or two episodes.
I did. It was crazy. It's Q Talk America. We'll be back in just, I don't know, like 30 seconds. So just stay right where the fuck you are.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Audie McDowell.
Here we are again. It's hour three. Thank you for being here. We're still discussing everything to do with announcers and people from yesteryear. And Morgan Freeman was brought up as one of the people. The other one who I think is good, and he does a lot of it for different shows, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. He does a lot of voiceovers for a lot of different documentaries.
And Trucks. Chevy, he's like
the spokesperson for some of the, there's a lot of those things. But
we were just talking about the commercials that we had played on here before, the Totes McGoats.
Totes McGoats.
What was that for? Was that Verizon?
Roddy McDowell.
Who was the other guy that was on that?
It wasn't Roddy McDowell, because he's dead.
Ryan is a total Hardy McHardison.
Harvey, he's amazeballs. He's like the hottest Hardy that ever Hardied.
He's
Peter
like
Coyote.
A Hardy McDowell. Times infinity plus another infinity.
Peter Coyote.
And his smile is totes adored.
Totes adored.
Totes McGoats. It's cray cray adored.
totes my goats.
When I heard that
James
Elgin.
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
From Clockwork Orange, right?
Clockwork Orange. Yes. And The Time Machine. 1979's fantastic movie, The Time Machine, with Mary Steenburgen, where they chase Jack the Ripper with the time machine. Yep, I'm that nerdy. So Shark Week happened, Discovery, and Discovery has gone ratings over science. They're now too big for their britches. And if you remember last week, I hadn't watched past like the first 25 minutes of that. I told you I was right in the middle of that thing that they had, and it was all fake.
Right.
And it really was. They were holding it together, and then all of a sudden it was, oh, for the love of God. Like the camera angles weren't real. You caught them acting. But they held it together, and it turned out to be 2 hours, which it was like way too long. So now Discovery's getting in a lot of trouble for the search for the voodoo shark and search for the submarine shark and all these things, where they have people that are saying that there could be this large predator. The voodoo shark was a shark that also swam in freshwater, because I think bull sharks have started going upstream into freshwater rivers to pup. As it will.
Like up the Mississippi?
They're going up into fresh water. And so that is
a
real thing.
That's what they call it, to pup?
Pupping. Uh-huh.
I think it's called,
I didn't know that.
It is.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
So I don't think it's called calf. Whale's calf, and I think shark's pup.
Okay.
It is, they're kind of doing a little bit of trickery. They're getting in a lot of trouble for people that were like, we don't want to watch Sharknado. There's other stations for that. We want like real information about sharks.
Sure. And, I agree.
And the shark conservation, which is one of the big things that... Discovery helped start was the stopping of killing of great whites. And now their big thing is to stop, to get restaurants to stop selling shark fins as a delicacy. The part-time animal activist, and I just have to like the animal and then really care for 10 minutes. Because most of the time I'm like, kill the fucking animal.
Well played on calling yourself out on that.
I'm going to put the hanky in the right pocket on that one.
I did find it interesting. It's the one that I watched with you at Carlton's house, I just think it's very interesting, the tagging, where they're trying to... They're tagging him not just for curiosity. Oh, it is curiosity, but real studies to figure out where they are pupping and where they're going. And what's crazy is all of the... And I'm not the biggest environmental person in the world either, but what's so unfortunate is all of these illegal fisher... I'm going to say the wrong word, but like there's all these fishing boats out there that are trapping all of these pregnant sharks, all these sharks, and all this shit.
And all the stuff they're doing, as we learned. And it takes the people shining the light. It takes that movie, The Cove, to find out, like, dolphin shows are just
insane.
Horrifying. Blackfish to let you know.
Blackfish came on the other day, and I was sitting there. I didn't realize it was on. I had gone through, and I just freaked, because I know I can't watch that.
And SeaWorld's addressing,
I know I can't.
SeaWorld's addressing their lack of revenue.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Their things going down. They're going to make their... Yeah. They're going to increase the depth and the size of their pool starting in San Diego, but they can't take the backlash of people like... That bent fin will haunt them
forever.
Like, that is just when they're like, oh, some sharks develop that, or certain whales develop that, and they're like,
no,
they don't. Yeah. And then, like, if you watch the extras, if you rent the DVD, if you watch the extras, the woman that made it was just making something about blaming the trainer for blaming the victim.
Right, yeah.
And saying that it was her fault because she had a ponytail, and you're like...
Correct.
Wait, everybody at SeaWorld
has
ponytails. Like, it can't be that. It can't be this. She said, I wasn't there to bash... And the interview with her is really enlightening. She's like, I'm not there to bash SeaWorld. She's like, that's not the mission of this. I just wanted to point out the hypocrisy of, like, you're blaming this woman for getting herself killed when you have unsafe practices, and this is a killer... whale, a killer whale that's gone place to place to place when they don't really kill people. Yeah. But then they get into the dentation, and they get into like all the things that they're doing wrong. And she's like, I couldn't put them in the documentary because they didn't serve like the thesis of the documentary. Showing you the torture of the whales is not what we're here for. But here's what else they're doing wrong. And you find out about their teeth and the ramming of their noses into the thing when they're trying to get to the other pen to get to their children and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. And that was one of the interesting things after I was watching more video about that was that, that SeaWorld, their stocks are down. They're like, you can't argue with Wall Street.
Yeah.
And like Wall Street and the stocks are down and all of these things, that they're like, they, yeah, major.
And I love CNN reporting on it.
They have to do something because, and that's what SeaWorld is trying to do all along has been business as usual. And they're like, no, don't look over there behind the curtain.
Nothing to see.
Look over here. People are catching on.
Yeah, and people are like,
slowly but surely.
Trips, the schools aren't going because they're, when she watch, especially if you watch the special features, so much is missing from that documentary. And you have to watch the movie In a World. Because that is still one of the funniest movies, and it's about voiceovers, and it's about people competing for LaFontaine's job after he died, and it's one of the funniest movies.
And isn't his widow and his daughter in it?
Yeah.
Lake Bell actually wrote and directed and stars in it, and she's amazing.
Oh, she wrote it. I love her.
She's and then one of my so that's it for that. And Shark Week, it's gone a little downhill because they've gone to like, we're no longer trying to be smart and sharky. Now we're just trying to like make stupid entertainment.
Well, after Sharknado was popular,
thing it's going to be Honey Boo Boo Rides a Whale. That's a sci-fi channel.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So Honey Boo Boo Rides a Whale, but her mom's lost some weight.
Yeah.
But so, I'm saying, like, maybe after...
Now she needs a new whale.
Yeah. Like, Sharknado got really cool. So, like, oh, people love this stupid shit.
But no, but they did it a couple years. They got in a lot of trouble. Like, they did like, reenactments of, like, a 1911 beach that you were like, really? You're going to make a TV movie about with bad actors and spend no money? Like, what we always used to think of, like, cable television TV movies before they started spending money, it was bad. And then one of my favorite ones, and I think it was for Chevy, was... Michael C. Hall, Dexter, did a commercial for Chevy, but he did it in the voice of Dexter. You know, the voiceovers. Michael C. Hall had his voice where he dealt with everybody in life, so they wouldn't know he was a sociopath. But his voiceovers on the show are in the voice of the killer. He's in the voice of Dexter, the with the dark passenger. And he did it in the voice of the dark passenger, the commercials.
Oh.
It was very subtle, and you had to be a fan of both to realize, like... Oh, that's fucked up.
What you're doing there?
You're doing a car commercial for something that's got trunk room for the body that you just killed. Like, it was very tongue-in-cheek and well done. And I used to make people watch that commercial. I'm like, he's doing it in the voice of a serial killer.
Well,
telling you about the trunk space. Like, that's just fucking funny.
Extra trunk space.
So that really... Kat Carlson. Who's Kat Carlson?
You know Kat Carlson?
Oh, Kat from The Cash.
Kat. What about her?
Hi, Kat.
Is she in the car? I didn't see.
She's not.
And a Facebook message. I don't know, like
that's
a message.
A Facebook message.
I got hit with like eight. There's no subtlety to these messages.
No,
I'm like,
all of a sudden, I'm like,
I'm sorry, Kat. I knew who you were, but I was thinking of Kat Dealey. So,
oh my god,
I thought you were like talking about the Emmys. I'm like, well, should Kat Carlson have an Emmy? I don't know. Is she a shark? Like
she might. Well,
yeah, I like that idea. I think that's a lot of fun if she's available. So we're done with that. Sorry, we.
Oh, that's quite all right. Katie, you ready to go?
Ready.
Here we go.
This week in sports and other stuff, Arizona State football player comes out as gay. A real story of love and basketball.
Oh, yay. I like the story.
I do too.
And then I have to just go there a little bit. In Ferguson are just so, so, so bad. But not everything. But also white people. And lesbians are having more orgasms than straight women.
Atta girls.
As they should.
Yep.
Thank you.
Wee-wee!
That's where the orgasm takes place, near your wee-wee.
Yeah, that's...
wee-wee.
You're making me laugh. Got it. So, Chip
Toyota.
Serafin publicly came out as gay. He's an ASU football player. And this was last week, I think on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So just a day after, I feel like, this week tonight, it's been a week, right? So it's kind of old news around here. But he's a redshirt senior. He made his announcement with Compete Magazine, which is run here locally. He's the backup offensive lineman and the first active college football player at a Division I program to publicly come out as gay. So he came out to his teammates, they say, much like Michael Sam, he came out to his teammates before the public, although he's been living as an out gay man for a long time.
His whole team knew. Everyone knew.
It's never been news to him or anyone else in his life. We were talking about it at an HRC meeting last week, and one of the guys on our committee is like good buddies with him and has been for a long time, and said it was kind of funny when it came out as like breaking news, because this guy's like, huh? You know, because like they've been gay together for a long, long time. So, but he was just saying that as it's becoming more newsworthy and noteworthy, it's one of those moments where it's like step up, you know. Mm-hmm. And he obviously wanted the news to come from him.
He's a smarty too.
Yeah,
he's not fucking around. No.
And he wanted it to be his story and not anyone else's. And it benefited him. He said, it was really personal for me. It benefited my peace of mind greatly. The coolest thing is that the folks at ASU and everyone in their athletic department stepped up in total support of him without question and just said, this is something that we've known, and we're completely, everyone at ASU has been like, we're totally supportive of him. And so I think it's really great. You know, it was kind of interesting. I had a friend, and where was it? Or a Facebook somebody that was like, is this? Oh, no. It was a girlfriend of mine. And she didn't mean it maliciously at all. But she's like, when is this done being news?
Right.
And I said, when I can get married, when Kelly can adopt our daughter, when we can be like publicly, when everyone can kind of publicly be out and comfortable, then it stops being news.
When you have to stay in the closet, when you're like forcing yourself to stay in the closet because you think you're going to be safer, then it's not news anymore.
Right.
Because it's still a big act of bravery. Yeah. There's four people.
Yeah, it is.
Because I'm looking through this list. We have like one basketball player, one pro football player, one Division I basketball player.
One boxer, one swimmer. It's like lots of women golfers.
Everybody's oh, really?
Yeah. A whole bunch of basketball players.
And tennis.
A whole bunch of WNBA players.
Come on,
tennis players.
Chicken.
Yeah.
He's got a degree in biomedical engineering, and he's in Arizona State's master's program.
Yeah, he's a smarty pants.
Yeah.
And anyway, so really exciting. Good stuff for him. Michael Sam tweeted at him, which was kind of cool. Courage 2014 hashtag. So,
and then they made out. Hashtag see next Tuesday.
So anyway, that's kind of happening locally. It's exciting news. So a real love story, a real story of love and basketball. And I have very mixed emotions on this.
Because she didn't ask you?
No.
Because of the other team?
No. So Brittany Griner, the star center of the Phoenix Mercury. And by the way, the Phoenix Mercury has beaten the all-time WNBA record of most games won in a season.
Oh, good.
At like 29 or something wins in a season. So they're holding a record, and they head into the playoffs, which begin this Thursday. And they have home court advantage, duh, because they're the best team in the league this season. So really exciting for them. But Brittany Griner proposed to her girlfriend, Tulsa Shock forward Gloria Johnson, last week. They announced the news on their Instagram accounts. It's a very sweet picture. It's up. I follow both of them on Instagram because that's my thing.
Follow or stalk?
Mostly stalk.
Come on.
Mostly stalk.
Tomato, tomato. I mean, until they sign the actual restraining order, it's all semantics.
So here's what I just can't get on board about. They recently celebrated their 2-month anniversary.
Yeah.
And I just can't get on board for anybody.
Straight or gay, right?
Straight or gay.
I'll give you a hashtag straight or gay.
Thank you.
This is a bad life decision.
Yes.
Unless you're going to be engaged for like ad nauseum.
They're 23 and 20 whatever else. Brittany Griner's 23 years old. They call
the impulsiveness of youth.
I'm the happiest person on earth, which fine, almost blah 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 blah.
Have we met everybody on earth?
Me and my baby are in it for life.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and like what I just don't like is that people are picking it up like it's this great lesbian love story, because when they break up in 6 months, it's gonna make everybody look like fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've
been using Arm & Hammer like baking soda laundry detergent for like 20 years. We're still not in it for life.
Thank you.
I can still be swayed.
Hashtag straight or gray. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing.
But the first time you say, we're in love, it's forever, and you get shit in your mouth. Yeah. The second time you're like, well, I like him, and it's going to be, we'll see how the week goes.
Yeah, except for it doesn't happen like that. Like my distant cousin who just is ending her third marriage after 6 months. It just doesn't. People are fucking idiots.
That's when you're a serial monogamist or you're addicted to cake.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have to have an intervention.
And it's a whole lot cheaper to just go buy the cake.
Just buy a cake.
Yeah,
or you go get a cake.
We have some people over for dinner.
Dress up fancy.
Some shitty chicken or unidentifiable meat.
Expensive cake, too. I mean, you don't need to.
So here's what. Here's the other part. So ESPN, ESPN. I want to say like El Ocho, like there's a W, like ESPNW or something. You know, it's a women's sport.
If it's almost a sport, wee wee. It's on El Ocho.
Right. So they did this series called 9 for 9, and
people have known each other 9 days and got married.
Yes, she's number one. So we're number one. It's not a good
Elizabeth
thing.
Taylor.
It's not good. Yeah. So Nine for Nine. Really, really cool. It's all shorts about female athletes in all different arenas. One of my other favorites is Ronda Rousey, the MMA fighter who I like randomly became obsessed with when I was locked in my parents' cabin and had nothing to do but watch that. She's amazing.
It's all masturbation, dear. You don't need to use that long sentence.
Ronda Rousey, amazing.
Self-raping.
Yeah. Right. Bend her down to the cross. Get her on the cross.
Self-raping.
Yeah.
Right. I've been doing that for a while. Against my will.
Your will.
He's been fighting himself.
Nocturnal emissions,
don't do it,
darling.
Don't do it.
So my point to this longer story is that they did this 9 for 9 documentary for really, really cool. It's actually really awesome. It's really short. And in it, it's her first season in the WNBA and then her first overseas in China and about how she adjusted. And she's got another girlfriend that's the love of her life in this video. This just happened in this last offseason. And the documentary just came out. And now she's engaged to the love of her life. It's embarrassing. Yeah. So I hate the fact. I mean, yay. And I really like Brittany Griner and I'm excited. Sure, that's great for her. But it's not going to last. And I hate how people take that position. Right. Anyone, hashtag straight or gay, take the position of like authority in a movement.
Right.
Or even like fame. But she's become a poster child in the LGBT movement. And she's getting married after 2 months, and she's never been happier.
And forgive me, but I don't mean to say that 23. I'm not trying to be.
But you are at 23.
Well, you could be my child. So you are a child.
And it's not even a white trash story.
No, not even. True, right. That's the problem.
Because at 45, we could have children
by the
way, that age.
Yeah. So
I like that you're so excited, but you keep sounding like. That's why you keep sounding like
me.
It was like the story itself was very nice, but I agree. Where, you know, you bring up Britney Spears.
Right, and her marriage in Vegas. Resplendent in torn jeans and a white t-shirt.
72 day.
Hours.
No. 72 day for Kardashian.
Oh, man.
And with Chris Humphries. You know, those things are pointed out, but this will be used.
Run up the flag.
And used in court kind of stuff and used in different places. Like, look at those gays. This is what they do.
Right.
Right, but I mean, luckily Charles Manson just got married, so you know,
there's
you can pick up the rock,
your
you can aim for the glass
is
house.
Invalid,
yeah. Right? Yeah,
but truly, I mean, that's where those fucking nut job Hobby Lobby people like come out of whatever. I know that that's a different thing, but still,
right? And they have selling shit from China, all this stuff. Hobby Lobby, I saw one there was one in Western New York, like down by the airport. There was a Hobby Lobby. My sister pointed it out because she's new to Facebook. She's like, oh, those are your favorite people. I'm like, I just want to go up and ask them. So, like, are all of you currently pregnant because birth control is like the evil monster in the room? Or
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Fuck tards.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
So, anyhow, that's happening. So, Ferguson.
Yeah.
Right? Is just so bad. And I wouldn't have even necessarily brought it up, but everybody gets it, right? So Michael Brown was murdered by a police officer. He was an unarmed 18-year-old boy.
Shot in the front and in the back like
six times. In the face twice. And they said that all of the shots were survivable with the exception of based on the autopsy they anticipate. But even that one, they said all the shots were survivable except what they anticipate was the last one. I don't know. That was the kill shot, right in the forehead, like right at the top of his
And that's just a crazed 26-year-old cop with a gun. Mm-hmm. That now you have a problem. You have someone who's completely deranged that has a gun and has a fear of black people. There's no other way to say it.
A fear of black people.
But if you have a fear of black people, why are you working?
It's that
we're 75%
because that's his power. But it's power.
That's power. You have the power over it, and you can. We've all jaywalked. Mm-hmm. It's race. If I wear a hoodie with Skittles and jaywalk,
gaywalk.
If I do all these things, no one's coming after me because
unless you're in Flagstaff, which and I only say that because
I've gotten pulled over. I've gotten pulled over on my bike when I went the wrong way, but no one drew a gun.
Well, I'm saying, and I only compare it to Flagstaff. It's a horrible, horrible comparison, but. In Flagstaff, it's all asshole 26-year-old cops who were douchebags growing up who are now taking it out on college kids. And I'm and that is the God's honest truth. Like, I know people that were arrested for jaywalking, for stepping out, stepping one step on the street. I mean, I saw it happen. Like,
oh yeah,
kids down at the bars.
But harassing a kid and shooting a kid.
I'm saying it's very, very different.
Six
but it's
times.
But that's, and that's what, and that's what I think people are missing in the story. Like, I can I can go jaywalk and get pulled over and have a cop harass me and be like, all right, yes, I didn't cross with the light. I'm sorry. No one drew a gun. I'm white. I'm not afraid for my life.
You're right.
I don't grow up in that mindset of, like, if a cop stops me in the car, and I can't remember which, it wasn't Don Lemon, who's on the forefront of just, like, let's be honest. Until we can all say, or was it Don Lemon that said that his mother told him if he ever got pulled over to put both hands out the window and make sure that the cop can see your hands, because you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
You're a black guy. And then he listed all the cities he's lived in. And he's like, if I get pulled over, this is how I get pulled over. I get pulled over. Me, a white person, gets pulled over. I'll even smart mouth a little bit with the cop.
Yeah, I'll cry to get out of a ticket. I automatically reach for my stuff. I turn around to look at my daughter. Like, everything's normal.
Any of those things, if you're unfortunately, if you're black in America, you're a black man, and we just have to get over this thing that, like, the value of a black man's life has no value. You know what I mean? Like,
well, here's what I okay.
Because either one in 100. This is a shocking statistic that really is true. Google it. 1 in 100 of every adult in America of any race, color, is currently in our prison system. 1% of our entire population. So not just per capita, but by the actual number, we have more people in prison than China.
Yep.
And they're a communist dictatorship.
Yeah.
Like, it's not per capita. This is not a percentage of the number. This is the actual people in prison. We're winning. Mm-hmm. That's fucking nuts.
It's crazy.
And people are in pot. White people with pot, not in jail. Like, they have the thing in Ferguson, pulled over. The percentage of people pulled over, it's like,
well, there's
number of blacks pulled over, number of whites pulled over.
Well, because they also have, like,
and the whites have the higher propensity to have contraband, drugs on their possession.
Oh yeah, well, it's also like the deep South. So it's these people.
No, that, it's the.
But,
it's,
well, you're right. It's not. But I. But it's people who, you know, I guess I think of, like, the white people. We're talking about contraband, and we're talking about, like, I mean, guns, and I guess I'm just thinking, like, I don't know. When I think of that, I just think of people, like, holding a Confederate flag and hating gays. And, like, I think of people with ripped off tank tops and going to Walmart and, like, having guns in their car.
But this is where,
exactly kind of my thought.
This is where the black gay thing no longer applies, really. Unless you're getting pulled over for, like, walking down the street.
Right.
With your purse, you know what I mean? Or, like, you're dressed like a lumberjack if you're a lesbian. Unless you're clearly doing something
stereotypical.
Make you see it. Most of the time, like, that you get pulled over, you're pulled over based on, okay, it's a white woman, I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. If you get pulled over as a black man, you're going to get shot. And now it's not random, it's not occasionally, it's just our new go-to. There's someone suspicious in a neighborhood in Florida, let's shoot him.
It's so awful.
Remember Terminator 2, you can't kill people. Remember the little kid in Terminator 2, you can't kill people. So he shoots everybody in the knee. Take the kid at the knee.
That's what I don't understand.
If you're in control of a gun and you've been trained in firearms and you think you're under attack, if you shoot somebody in the knee.
The left side of his face was swollen. Don't you know that? He had to go to the goddamn hospital.
Yeah.
And his face was swollen. Look it, I'm kidding. Because that's fucking ridiculous.
And now when I watch this thing, Ferguson, and I want to put it on Facebook. I just want to say, like, oh my God, just do it. We already drove in an army. Like, turns out Ferguson now has a military.
Yeah.
If you watch those things, and we learned that from Massachusetts. We're hunting for two kids.
Exactly. Yes,
they did something horrible. But we brought in a paramilitary and shut down all of
Boston.
And
I don't care whether it's two kids. I don't care if they're 18. I don't care if they're 45. I don't care if they're 72. Nobody needs to get shot six times. Get shot.
But what I'm saying is, like,
we go straight up paramilitary. And I get all that, but, like, we're a lot of people, I think, are becoming more, like, heart wrenched. I'm not implying you. I'm saying in general about this being a kid. I don't fucking care.
Oh no, no, and I'm with you exactly. Just don't go for the kill shot.
Stop shooting six times. If in fact there is a threat, shoot them in the knee.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a gun, which my understanding is did not, that He did not.
He was jaywalking.
He was totally
unarmed.
He
wasn't pulled over because of any... He wasn't pulled over for a capital offense. What? And everybody was like, well, we can't release this cop's name because we don't want people to, like... make
and
a judgment.
Seen
he
little...
just acted as judge, jury, and executioner.
He murdered
an 18-year-old
teenager. Is that I'm, as far as on the other side, I'm excited to hear, and I mean truly excited, because this runs in my house just like you're, like constantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to hear, what are the results? Like, what is there? Is there some kind of, because I agree. Was he murdered? Everything I've seen, yes, I believe so.
Yeah, and
so.
I can't listen to one more person say, well, we're going to use this as an opportunity for training. No, your opportunity for training was like 25,000 fucking years. I can't even make up a number that goes along with that.
Unacceptable.
Like, it's an opportunity for training. You have to be trained to not kill an 18-year-old kid.
Like
and chase him down the street.
From how far away, by the way?
Right, and chase him down the street and shoot him 6 fucking times.
Because how close was he?
And then why do you wonder why is the community... It unrests because
that's
you're
what
murdering
I don't understand.
People on the street.
Yeah, and I have a real issue with protesters and looting and all of that.
But they're not all the same thing.
They're not
the same thing.
But that's what I mean. Everything's getting like mashed together, and those fucking idiots, those fucktards, if you will, that are out there that are breaking into places and burning places, and it's all in the name of Michael Brown. No, it's not.
No,
but then
if you remember from the times of Harvey Milk, when they were doing the peaceful protest, and the school teacher is like, the people are standing on the side going, where is your rage? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a time. And then all of a sudden it turns into a riot and they turn over cars and start burning shit down. It is the problem, but it also is.
There has to be a middle ground.
Yeah, but I also think burn the fucker down.
So
I'm a firm believer.
But you're burning the fucker down of some guy who tried, or some gal who just is building a business.
Right. But you also have to get everybody on board with restart this community.
They just need to.
Like, start this community from go.
Absolutely. But there has to be, and I'm speaking just in the clouds, but I mean, my God.
But
the people that have this business, that someone came in and just ripped
it. Right, and the Rodney King, it was Little Korea. They went after Little Korea. Like,
and what the fuck did they have, you know, like, come on.
And I don't think they do, and they are different people, and I agree with you to some extent that some people may be using as an excuse to loot.
Well, I think a lot of people are.
But I also think that there's just a lot of
people coming in. Yeah.
But I also think, and that's, there seem to be very different, there's the peaceful protests of the people that live there that are saying,
but then
let's
there's outright rage. Because
but
now,
then they should feel rage.
You should.
And they
feel
should
it.
Feel
what
that.
If you're raising, what if you're raising a black son?
And they,
how do you tell him you have no shot?
And they feel
you're
it.
So
and
go
this
burn
is
that building.
Their,
No. There's a disconnect in that part.
But I think...
So, no, but when you're raged, when you're enraged...
I don't agree either that they're doing it.
That
they should be doing it.
I'm just saying... But the middle ground comes in.
But I think you lose a lot of perspective.
Burning something down or murdering your child, burn it down.
You lose a lot of perspective when you're in their shoes. You've lost perspective because the
That's
men
true.
In your community are just being murdered at will.
Yeah.
And the craziest
and all
thing
over the country. And then they bring in a paramilitary.
But then the craziest thing, you know, is that this afternoon, about 4 miles or so away, black man was murdered.
Right.
23 years old, who apparently had he had come out of a Circle K, like a convenience store, and that he had a knife.
Yep.
And he said, shoot me now,
above his head,
shoot me now, kill me now. And so they did it. And you know
why? Shoot him in the fucking knee.
You know why
he's
doing it?
Yeah.
Because he's antagonizing them. Fucking shoot me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah? Shoot me. That is not.
But every cop,
when you shoot a 23-year-old young, whatever, again,
every
any age
officer that you have that you will ever come in contact with will tell you that's how they're trained, though. So it comes down to.
But I don't. That it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't be.
And then step two should not be driving in tanks like we're in Croatia
and marching.
And marching, like
I also don't understand
that freaked me
like,
out.
Why is the
big part of America
advancing?
Why is the like I have a knife over my head? Why is that? Yeah, automatic kill shot when it's not a shot in the knee. Or what I was thinking today is why
Tasers.
Are we not tasering these people?
And a lot of times, my understanding is that a lot of times that is being used, but probably not in Ferguson, Missouri. And that might sound, but
or
I mean,
it could
like,
be it could be even worse situation. But you just
no, but I mean like or like because in New York or some of the bigger cities,
and LA is the worst. LA is the worst.
I believe those things are being used though.
But LA is like the worst place to be, and they call it, you know, walking while black. You know, you're or black BMW, black man walking. Like, that's a criminal offense. And that's what I'm saying. It's just that mindset. And you see, like, the Sarah Palins and the fuckheads of the world that are like, we need our Second Amendment rights because Obama's trying to take our guns. I'd be worried about my Second Amendment rights when all of a sudden my police department is a military.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
When they have Israeli, when the bombs that were supposed to go to Israel to fend off the other people are now in the hands, and that's what they're doing. Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, the
Hamas. I love how
I always call it Hamas.
The pronunciation changes on a daily basis.
You know, that's just my pronunciation.
How about the first thing we do is y'all get together and decide how to pronounce Hamas?
Yeah.
You know,
all the news people in Israel saying it different ways.
When you talk about the kind of stereotype of me wearing a plaid shirt, walking in Flagstaff kind of thing, or a lumberjack kind of thing. Yeah, I may get a lot of flack for this, and that's okay. I don't care. Because it's my opinion.
We want flack.
So we have our stereotypes. Mm-hmm. If I go on TV, let's say I don't have my yay gay shirt on. I don't need it. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, I think the same thing. Right.
So I go on. I don't need this, but I go on and I'm interviewed for something. There is not a shot in hell that people aren't going to look up at their TV screen and be like, oh, that's a big old dick. Somebody's walking. Now, whether obviously that's true or it's untrue, but that negative kind of image that someone might get from that or whatever. You have other cultures that become, I mean, go to Apache Junction. Can we all describe what we think of? Apache Junction?
Dub T.
Oh, no, no. But
hear me. When you have
the idea, but there's a stereotype, and then there's a stereotype that makes that you shoot to kill.
No. And I agree.
Right.
Walking down the street, and somebody, that fear that's been instilled for whatever reason.
Right.
I'm not saying shoot them six times. I'm not implying
that. But
that
gets to like bashing and beatings up and stuff.
Exactly.
It does. But what we're talking about is the protect and serve people. And that's where I think we're all getting lost in the gay community is we're on this whole, but we can be part of this too. No, the cops don't shoot gay people.
No.
They don't see us as threat. Kill shot to the head because I was jaywalking.
Right.
Harassment, some abuse. It's not the same as execution style
it's fear. It's 26-year-old assholes in police that have too much power. First of all, they have way too much power, and they're scared. Now, I know we could kind of go on and on about this. What I will say is following the death of Michael Brown and all of the kind of chaos that has been happening and things that have been talked about in Ferguson, there have been some inspiring scenes of kindness and generosity, which is one of the headers at Huffington Post. Like, there also are good pieces of this community coming together. People handing out food, water, diapers, supplies to those in need who may have been looted or who may not, because there were interviews of people who are afraid to leave their homes.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those.
And
today.
So
taking lunches in and things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're helping these folks. There are people setting up free food stations for the peaceful protesters as peaceful protests are happening.
Yeah. Right.
People that have been hit with tear gas, again, peaceful protesters that are being tear gas.
And what I don't want to get in a stupid argument with somebody is it's black people on the street. Just get the fire hoses and the dogs.
That's what I said to
Mom. Just go full
on. Have you
been
watching CNN's The 60s?
Selma.
Have you been watching
that
at all?
Well, I have. Yeah, yes.
Mom and I have been watching that. And I keep looking at her going, do you remember this? Do you remember? And we talk about this stuff. And the fact that you're exactly right. That's what I said I keep doing this, but those guns kind of marching and everyone across and how very Soviet Union. But all of that happening, and I'm like,
just break it out. Just go full on Selma. Why waste fucking time?
One of the interviews on
it's amazing.
And people would be like, oh no, it's not a racist world anymore. You're playing the race card. And then we're talking about stories from the 80s with MTV not playing black people.
Right.
Then we're talking about like the Freedom Riders, not the Freedom Writers, but the Freedom Riders who are in our lifetime. Like this is an ancient history.
No.
Like three of us were alive. Well, I think I was the only one alive for the Freedom Riders. I think it was like 67, 68.
67, 68. Right?
There was a woman on an NPR article just as I was driving over here talking about the second kid, a family, three-generation African-American family. And she said that she was glad that her grandson was participating in this because she was like feeling that rage that she felt when she was a youth. And she said, it's scarier now. What you're going through now is worse because we got shot with fire hoses and water. and you're getting shot with guns and being killed.
And then some, and like, and we watch the Bates. We watch Bates Motel. What's that? Is it called Bates Motel?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The psycho thing, and they have that whole plot point about. And all the guns and all the shooting, which I don't object to violence, but it's all over pot growers in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? And I think that has to be addressed. Like, you're introducing, like, the police and the mob and all these people involved with pot growing and everyone's dying over it. Just make it fucking legal. Mm-hmm. And then you won't have this 1 in 100 Americans in jail, and a lot of them are for, like, drug offenses. You're in jail for a huge amount of time in a three-strike system for something the last three presidents have admitted to doing. Yeah. The last three presidents have admitted to smoking pot. They're the president. You're sitting in jail. What's wrong with this fucking picture?
Right.
You can't vote because now you're a class one felony, mm-hmm. felon.
Felon, yep.
You lose your right. You're disenfranchised. Your odds of getting a job have gone down. You're taking away, you're breaking up families over something the last three presidents all have admitted to doing. Like, this is the culture. It's not, it's right. You just have to address what we're doing to this sure. culture and the lack of value of lives we're putting on. And it's not, it really is a specific to the black man that their life
it
has
really
no value.
Like, yeah.
I want to, like, they can just be
which
shot.
It does not. And I
there's
think
a suspicious
for me,
guy in my neighborhood right. means call the cops, have someone chat with them, find out why you're in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
It doesn't
don't
mean
shoot
him
six times.
So here's one other thing, and we got to move on.
Yeah.
But there was, interesting. Just the other side, there's a pro Darren Wilson protesters are also coming out. So this is pro
uh-huh.
the cop.
This was too
and
much.
It's really horrible. And they're all white, naturally. And most of them are they,
and afraid of black people because they think yeah. they're looking at their TV and they're like, you should be afraid.
It's, and so
there's
here's what they say.
There's black people banding together like you've got to get tanks.
If you don't do what the police tell you, if you do what the police tell you to do, if you're not doing anything wrong, which this Michael Brown was not, the cops ask you to do something, then you're not going to have to worry about it. Blah. I don't know. He's making no sense. But he says, someone asked, why aren't there any black people at this rally? And he said, I know it sounds wrong, but the black community just doesn't understand the system. This is like random old white guy.
Yeah, of course it is.
Again, there's a process. They're screaming about, why isn't Wilson arrested? Why isn't he in jail? Well, there's an investigation being done. You can't go apply for a warrant. Well, why? But Michael Brown's family doesn't have the opportunity to apply for a warrant or whatever the fuck this guy is talking
right,
about.
Right, because he had an executioner. He had a judge, jury, and executioner at the same time.
And so even if this particular man, and this is just one man, but even if this man is standing out here talking about there's a system, there's a process, I'm not racist, there's a process. His next remark was, the black people, are just going to keep pushing the envelope. There's no reason to stop. It's as simple as training your dog. If you don't tell him to stop biting, guess what? He's going to keep biting you. Oh. And when you compare a black teenager crossing his street in his neighborhood
to a dog,
to training your dog, there's your racism.
Yeah. I think what I have...
Let me get a highlighter.
There you have it.
And I think what's so hard for me and where I just get very almost black and white about it, just kind of like, no, like there has to be a middle ground.
That was a bad pun, Marnie. Very black and white about it.
Done. But I mean, truly, like where I just look at it and think, I don't get it.
Oh yeah, people are the white people at this protest are saying this is not a race thing. They're actually saying, don't stop using the race card.
Then you're
right,
a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm not trying to, like I said, live in the clouds. I just don't get it.
Right.
And I don't.
Because it's not, we're all white.
No, female. Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
What I'm saying is, I don't understand why people react like that. Because they don't see it from the point of view of like how, like, you need to go and live the life of a, like, they need to do the thing of, I know it's awful to put on blackface, but you need to go do the thing of like living like a feck or living like a black man. Find mm-hmm. out what police pull you over for. Remember when if you were a black guy in a nice car, just got pulled over.
Right.
Just because, why are you
because.
In this car?
Because.
Right.
You shouldn't be driving. Okay. So, really bad news happening there.
Interesting
yes.
topic.
May I, just on a sports thing.
Oh, yeah.
That I was going to do. Michael Sam, you had brought up Michael Sam.
Right.
Hopefully they can throw the gay shit out the window and not really care about it anymore, because he also, not only in his first game, which I mentioned last week, got the first NFL sack on
He's
the
got
first
a
play
sack
of
on
the
him.
Game.
Hey.
We. But on Saturday, I believe it was, he sacked his first NFL quarterback. And
boom, shakalaka!
Yeah. Oddly and ironically, it was a Packer. But
wow. Yes, coincidentally.
Really, right. Coincidentally, now, my bad, my
now
bad.
Now we're
going to
work on the correct use of
sorry,
irony.
My bad, my bad.
I'll get up on that white boy cross.
So, but he, Matt Flynn, but he had two quarterback hits and a quarterback sack.
All right, Michael Sam. Boom.
Michael Sam. Boom!
Well
done. And another really, really great sorry, news before really I am done. Lesbians are having more orgasms than straight women. That's right, ladies
so
and gentlemen.
Wee-wee.
A recent study published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine focuses on how sexual orientation associates with orgasm frequency in single, this is in single men and women. They collected online, it was an online questionnaire. They got responses from almost 6,200 men and women between the ages of 21 and 65. They then noticed, this is including, they kind of break down some of the numbers. They were asked to identify their gender, sexual orientation, and percentage of times they orgasm with a familiar partner on a scale of 0 to 100. Here's a shocker.
A familiar, you cannot do it with an
with
unfamiliar.
A familiar partner. I guess they'd have to be familiar if you're.
Well, I'm guessing.
Doing
but I mean,
them, I'd hope.
A trick is a trick.
Although, yeah, that's right. There have been some drunk nights. although this is surprising, I'm sure the male participants didn't vary much based on sexual orientation. Heterosexual men reported 85.5% orgasm rate. Gay men reported 85% orgasm rate. And then they have the bisexual number is up there as well in men. But the responses from women showed notable variation. Heterosexual women reported orgasming 61.6% of the time. Bisexual women reported orgasming 58% of the time. And lesbian ladies, highest percent at 74.7%.
Wait. I like it. I like that article.
So pretty great.
You know, you would think bisexual women would be 50-50.
Oh, wee wee.
Oh, I'm saying no to puns.
Saying just that women in both same sex and women in same sex relationships are just kind of tuned in, and that might be why they're having more orgasms.
Literally, have their finger on the pulse.
They do. They do indeed. So anyway, go lesbies. I've got more, but I'll save it for next week. In
what do you got? What do you got left?
And other stuff.
Jesus.
Oh, my teasers for the future, Little Michelle Duggar, 19 and counting.
Nice.
Got some Hobby Lobby news, but you know, I'll save it for another time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's horrible.
I love that.
Like, family has such, like, they're such a great little family.
Oh, yeah, because there are 90
of them. But they're horrible.
They made their own village.
They have their own family reunion, like, every day. Yeah. Now, you did not mention about the young gal at the Little League World Series.
Oh,
on shutouts.
Yeah. How old was
briefly.
She?
Oh, she's like 13.
Yeah.
She's
and she was 12, like, 13. She was throwing like 77 mile miles an hour pitches at the Little
Shutout.
League World Series, the little girl. So, I'm sorry.
No.
It was great. It was hashtag throw like a girl all over social media.
And the best thing about her is that she is as humble as can be.
Yeah.
And they interviewed her and they said, now, how are you dealing with all of this attention? And what do you think about this? And she said, well, I think I'm in control of it because all I have to do is say no to your interviews.
Whoa.
You could tell the reporter was like, okay, well done.
Yeah,
all right,
there you have it.
But I mean, good on her to just be like, no, I'm not nervous and I don't feel pressure because I'm in control of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, atta girl.
Yeah, good girl.
Go
I'm sorry, I forgot about
girl.
That. Thank you.
I found the link to the Duggar lady, and
she's a cunt.
I gotta read it because it looks like it's gonna be a fun. Looks like it's gonna be a fun read.
It's pretty bad. Honestly think she's just so stupid. I literally think she's brainless.
Are you talking about the robocall?
Yeah.
Do you have that? Because we can send it to Clayton for next week.
Oh,
I
have it
week.
Right here.
I don't have it.
Okay, I'll send it to you right now.
Okay. We'll go there next week. Yeah.
That's all.
That's it.
In sports.
I need some of this dessert. I've been waiting all night to bust in, so I'm just going to
tell you. I'm not going to lie. I was like, well, nobody's going to reach for it. I'll just take it home. But I was kind of counting on this
I feel like there's a pecan pie over to your right there.
I'll let you guys do that, and I'll start this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
I got my fork here.
I'm aimed and ready.
Oh my God.
Okay. This is kind of a fun one on the SeaWorld thing. If you could release viruses engineered to extinguish any three species you wished.
No, done.
What animal or plants would you get rid of? Are there any you'd like to wave goodbye to but wouldn't because of environmental or other concerns? And I hope there'd be one big one on that list. I feel like this
I
one
got
is
mine.
I'm going to guess. I think this one has peanut butter on it.
Oh, it's so good.
I am correct.
Again, make sure I understand the question. If you could release a virus to kill a species or an animal, would you do it? Yes.
Yeah.
And I am not my own species, so just fuck off.
And you said, and what, three? Uh-huh. Did you say name three?
Oh, there's three.
Apparently there's three. I have Ann Coulter, Michelle Bachman, and Sarah Palin. Oh, my God. Yes. Done no and done. We done. Fucking we.
By the way.
You know, I don't know, because according to Ann Coulter in that fake article, we should, you know, Ebola for the children
right, right.
coming across the border.
I believe Ebola are the children.
We have our finger on the pulse yeah. of Ebola.
Finger. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. It's awkward, though.
Don't know.
I don't like it.
Don't know. No, don't ask like a lot of questions.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Hello.
No.
What?
No, I wouldn't.
Come on.
I don't know if I can come up with three, but I got one good solid one.
If I'm understanding your question, no, because for whatever reason and whatever people believe, I think everything, whether I would love to get rid of all the vermin, and I don't mean certain people that I just named, rats and cockroaches and this and that. Yeah, of course. But everything has its purpose, and everything
is here. What purpose
does
a cockroach have?
I don't know yet. I don't know, but something to outlive us all. I don't know.
Yeah, to make give Tina Turner company when it's all over.
Yeah, because I feel like I feel like if I say yes, honestly, I don't know if it's a karma thing or what, but I just feel like they're just crazy.
Oh, but putting three people to the guillotine didn't hurt your karma.
Oh, no,
I like that
those
part.
Three?
Yeah.
Those three?
That's
fuck
so
it.
Funny.
That, no, mm-hmm. those that's different. Those
well,
three.
I feel like there's a bonus brownie under here that I
there
did not
is. That's what I said. That I was uh-huh. like, what? Mm. I don't know, but I mean, I guess I just look at it
are
and I say
are we counting that as a lesbian orgasm?
What, maybe.
Yeah, just now.
I haven't had anything yet.
That's one on the night.
Oh, I'm not ready for that just yet.
Anyway, but that, so no.
Oh, bitch. That's not fun.
I would definitely. Cockroaches. Yeah. 100%. I've talked about it already tonight. Also, mosquitoes are motherfuckers, and they can just beat it.
They also carry and disease.
I've never read the upside to a mosquito.
Never. Like, sure. I talked about bees earlier. God knows we need the bees, so yeah. let's keep those around. We need bees. More bees.
To scare Balmer or what?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Frighten my
yeah.
child.
Make sure that therapy session's worth every
to
penny.
Give her, to give her some good, strong back.
I don't know.
I don't want an uncomfortable silence during the therapy session. I want it to go full on chatter.
I'm like, in this,
to hear,
I'm in this really, I'm in like a insect-only mind frame, I think, from the start mm-hmm. of the conversation mm-hmm. earlier and now. I would guess that there would be something else, but I think right now, for sure, roaches and mosquitoes. They both can fuck off.
Okay. Fuck right off.
Oh, I think when I say what I'm going to say, I think you'll all be on board with me. Because uh-huh. it's not only they cause damage, it's just there's no reason...
Termites.
No. No, but again, I yeah, okay, so that's
they can't have a purpose either. Yeah.
Oh, and I would just to interrupt
sorry,
you for
Clayton.
A moment. Richard says that her three were all the same species. They were the cock juggling thunder cunts.
I love it, Richard. I love it.
Yes.
As I sit in the helicopter and watch Jim risk certain death while yeah. trying to corral the cock juggling thunder
cunts. I'm Marlon Perkins and I'm smart enough to stay in the studio.
Sponsored by Mutual of Omaha.
You gotta hope he had good insurance.
I would eliminate pigeons. everywhere. There's no, I do not know of any value at all to a pigeon.
I gotta Google it because I don't either.
They shit the seeds. They eat the seeds. I think it's germination.
Yeah,
from
but they
the pooping.
Shit horrible new grasses into my backyard that I can't get rid of.
No, but aside from that, look at all the nastiness on the tops of so many buildings. Like,
I'm not saying all their shit is art. I'm just saying I think it might be that they poop out the seeds somewhere else. I'm just.
And they're not indigenous to America.
This is the first one that we've come up with that I think I know what, like, cockroaches and ants, I kind of get decomposition, but cockroaches, I got nothing.
You mean pigeons, you got nothing?
No, pigeons, I think it is the shitting.
Oh, good. Well, I still don't think we need them.
No, I mean,
they're filthy,
again,
vile, they're everywhere.
My loyalty will stay true. I will vote for the pigeon.
No, I just don't.
I'm voting pigeon off the island. Exactly. You're gone.
Off the whole goddamn world. You're because gone. They're not indigenous to
America. The gentleman from New York, please express his opinion on pigeons.
Wee.
This person, there is just a quick answer about pigeons, but really, it doesn't. It says they're things. Other things eat them, and
right, but other
their seeds spread. But other these, like they're saying, like hawks eat pigeons. Well, hawks eat other shit too. We don't
everything.
Eat pigeons. Yeah. And well, also other
well,
birds.
Someone has put hawk food out made specifically of
maybe
pigeons that I killed.
What we need are more hawks. Yeah. We need more hawks.
That's what we. Yeah, hawks. Falcons and snakes.
But
boom,
the interesting thing about
more snakes? What is wrong with you?
They eat pigeons.
You're all fucking weird.
No.
No, I'm going to keep it. You want more snakes? Fuck off. You don't get it. My girlfriend brought
all right,
that.
Wait, did you have other ones, Clayton? Or were you.
No, that was the first. That's always. If I could even.
But I think you were on board with cockroaches.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure I'm on board with it because I don't know what other value they have. But,
and
know,
if we
termites,
didn't do it, we wouldn't pay exterminators. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if we.
Now you save money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
I'm
know
on
the,
board.
I don't know what the point of ticks, bed bugs, roaches, any of those. I don't get
bed
what,
bugs.
The value
flea
of any of that.
We. All right.
Bed bugs. That's
but,
a good one.
I don't.
Fleas, pestilence.
I've often thought if there was a way, you know, because there's so many things in technology they can do. I would say they formulate a pigeon feed of some sort. Maybe if there's that you feed them and it sterilizes them. That way, nobody's killing anything. It
good.
Just sterilizes them, and then they eventually just are gone.
But life finds a way, as Jeff Goldblum
sure
said in Jurassic
does.
Park, and you know that they're going to mix with some other.
And it'll
horrible
be like
bird.
It'll be a fucking,
the
it'll
last
be a,
fucking
it'll
pigeon.
It'll be a pigeon-hawk.
Yeah.
Pigeon-hawk. And it'll be like
a. It'll be dive bombing and shitting on your car at the same time.
With a really big wingspan.
You're like a Terra fucking dactyl. Wee wee. That's what you have to say to them because they'll own your house.
They'll be pissing all over you. I don't know. I just think everything kind of has I don't know.
You start singing everything
like
has a reason. I'm going to shove
no,
that chair
but
to that
I
wall.
Just, I just
you start
don't...
doing songs from Pippin.
I don't even know what that means.
We're going to have a lesbian down.
No, I just don't. I don't want mice. I don't want rats and snakes and, God, all those horrible, horrible things. No, I don't want them. But, again, I said I'd get rid of Ann Coulter, Michelle Bachmann, and Sarah Palin. So
I can't find
similar.
The intrinsic worth
in
any.
I keep coming right back to that.
Thunder cunts. The species of thunder cunts, I think, are gone.
Cock juggling
thunder cunts. The only thing I agree with all of your fine choices, except for Wimpy over here. just because she brought you a brownie
Tuesday
doesn't mean you have to love every
today.
Animal.
Oh, that's not why.
Mine would be jellyfish until you're. I'm given a specific reason why that filthy fucking creature exists. That's the only thing that will
in
get me out
color.
Of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And like the one day recently, I was in the ocean and someone pointed out, you know what that thing is by you? And I was like, I don't know, a used condom. And I kept swimming. And they're like, jellyfish. I'm like, I'm out, yeah. I'm done. Don't even want to know what that's going to be like.
The red, were they red? Were they clear?
They were clear because I really did think it was a used condom.
Yeah, no, they have.
Well, and you're fine to swim with that.
Yeah. I've had them inside me. Swimming with them is
super, super good point, Al. Real
yes.
good point.
Wee.
Gentleman from New York being so wee point. All right, so your
earns a wee wee.
the follow up question is since and it's only for you because you're the only one that pussied out. So if you would not get rid of any species, do you think scientists should stop trying to wipe out malaria parasites, which kill 3,000 people a day, and the tsetse fly, which spreads sleeping sickness to nearly as many?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's get rid of that one. Tsetse. you're out. You're off the island.
So you know what I mean?
But so you're saying get rid of diseases.
But again, it's a any
because
three
those
species.
Are the carriers.
Right. So a tsetse fly is a species. So that's what I'm saying. So they're just saying. So would you say like, oh no, no, no?
Oh, don't kill that.
Right. Right.
No.
And then, so the other follow-up question was, so no. Since you want other people to have them, you just pay the exterminator to make sure you don't have them. You just don't want to be the kicker of the...
Totally.
Right. You don't want to get rid of the cockroach.
No,
you just
no,
don't
no.
want to see them.
Kill them all. Yeah, I see something
so
move in my
so
house.
So you're
like,
the anti-choice person that wants someone else to raise the kids.
Yeah, totally.
There you go.
Yeah, fuck off.
I took that to a really strange political
yeah,
point.
You did.
Didn't I?
Yeah, I kind of think so.
Vodka works for me.
I like it.
Pardon me.
Here we go.
Without reading this like really super long article on Nature, the International Weekly Journal of Science, well, that sounds exciting. it says, ecology, a world without mosquitoes. Eradicating any organism would have serious consequences for ecosystems, wouldn't it? Not when it comes to mosquitoes, finds Dr.
Go.
Janet Fang. So, fuck yeah, let's get rid of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Off the
so
island.
With the last 3 minutes, I'm curious of you two. Well,
people have been curious about us for years.
And I don't mean Bono and the Edge. there was a...
still not on board with puns.
Yeah, yeah not with that.
There was an article that I found that I thought was kind of interesting. A young gay blogger, from his
you mean
perspective...
Me?
Duh. Gay men over 30 should stay out of the clubs.
Uh-huh. That's a true story.
Ooh. He goes through this whole thing about Peter Pan syndrome.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I know very well that I cannot fly. I'm not... There is
Bangarang!
There's no
party
delusional
drug that is going right. to take you there.
No, and, right. But I was just curious, as there are two people that are verging on 30, that...
Does that mean stepped all over it and walked by it?
Maybe.
About 20 years ago?
Yeah.
It's been eradicated.
50 to 20 years ago.
I thought the first one, like, I caught this headline, and the first story I read, it was like men over 40. Now you've got to say 30.
Says, yeah, gay men over 30.
Because what happened is somebody at 45 read it, got pissed, and decided...
Right, right. I read the same thing. There was a different article, and it's by gay men who are 50 that wrote something in response to this.
It's also called bitter. That report is also
bitter.
Parenthetically,
party of one.
Parenthetically, bitter.
The first comment,
but not always.
The first comment: trust you'll be that way sometime soon, and those words will bite you on the ass because nobody would want to be. A bit tired, flat piece of white trash ass, whatever. You better watch
your words.
My name
is Al.
You'll be there soon enough, you punk ass bitch.
Right.
By the way, all in caps and severely misspelled. And
because he was so fucking angry.
He was real mad, punk ass bitch.
Holding onto his colostomy bag and his crown and water.
Shut it, you punk ass bitch.
I do not want to help you clean that colostomy bag.
No, not at all.
Punk ass.
Anyway,
punk
I just thought
ass.
It was interesting.
I think natural selection takes over at a, like, once you get to 30, the idea of like 5 nights a week
30,
in a club
right.
starts to be like, oh, mm-hmm. no, I can't do it. And you're at weekends and you're the binge. And then at 40, you're like, okay, we just got to slow this train down. Like,
right.
Like, I do not need to sit honestly through another bachelorette party. That really is what killed gay bars
yeah,
for me was
I'm
the
sure.
bachelorette party.
I'm sure.
I'm not a ride at Disneyland. Y'all's got to go.
Yeah. Look at, he's so
you're
funny.
Off the,
yeah.
You're off the island, bachelorettes.
Yeah.
He's
and then
so
the
funny.
You know
you and the mosquitoes and the cockroaches you're all
sure.
out of here.
You're all, I would put that species on the bachelorette party really has to be controlled. No, but I think it's and I just recently had a conversation with somebody who was like, "Well, I can't just sit at home," and I'm like, "If you like where you live and mm-hmm. you you like yourself, that's a big part of I think." Being enjoying your own company, you have to like yourself,
tired.
Like where you live, and you're a little tired. Like
my
the idea of like
tired.
I can't hold this together with caffeine and luck anymore. You know what I mean? Like spit glue, duct tape, and coffee are not keeping this train moving
right,
anymore.
Right.
We need sleep and a little time on a pillow.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely,
and sure. it does make it. To me, that makes a difference. I think it is natural selection.
I've thought it for years. I thought it for years because I work there still, and it's right. like it's so hard still to say no to cash.
Because
there's so many times that I like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to push play again. I don't want to get up.
I don't want
to have the remark back, the volley back to the comment.
Because you know exactly what it is. Because it becomes the same.
It's just repetitive.
But like Harrison and I, when I used to go visit her in San Diego, and she had a slightly older roommate. You know, in my mind, she was 70, but she's probably like, we were only like 2 years apart. Yeah. But she was of the age and of the mindset of like, oh my God, you guys are going out again. We're like, oh my God, you're going to stay in on a Saturday night. Why not kill yourself?
Right, exactly.
And then you fast forward 10 years and it was like, you know, we could just sit here with a glass of wine and some friends and have a nice conversation and have a truly fun evening with just us. But then you suggest it to younger people and you see that look come over their eyes like,
oh God.
Oh no, it's a pasture. We're all going to die. Right. And
Right. Well, and the funny part is that listening to this, when I read this and then listening to this right now makes me laugh because when we're 20, when we're 21, 22, 23, this is stuff that parents might say, right? Our parents.
Oh,
and you're like, oh my God, you're so old. And I can't, you know,
luckily,
I can't.
Mine didn't.
She quit drinking at 46.
The alternative, though, is that it's a dead dude. Like, if you're alive to tell the story, eventually you're like, you know what? We're gonna slow this train down.
And but you never think.
And now I'm in this place of living on coffee and duct tape because of work.
Right.
And I've just worked a lot. So now it's like, no, I have to got to go home and go to bed. And it's from smart life choices that make me just as exhausted, cranky, and bitchy as I was when I was mean hungover 20 years ago.
But I have to say, going, like, any of that, and I understand this about the guys and older, younger guys, but going into the clubs and whatever, when, and clubs, let's use that loosely, I do not dance. And there's no room
for that. Oh, but I used to. Oh, my God, I used to love to dance.
Club.
Right.
Do we have, come on. So, no offense to anyone.
We did. We had some good ones.
Yes. I was in the
and there
ones.
And there may still be some, but they're not operating. I am no longer the target audience.
No, we don't know about them anymore. Yeah.
So them and Nickelodeon are operating without my knowledge now.
Oh, I have to go home. I forgot my lightsaber. Yeah. Whatever the
glow sticks.
Thank you. Whatever.
My lightsaber. Awesome.
Oui.
You're not going dancing on the Death Star.
Well, yeah.
I'm Princess Leia. Look,
yeah, like
really,
Leia, kind of.
You go in there and I hear myself because that's all I can hear when you go into certain places. And then when we go to leave, I'm like, it was so loud. Like, it just.
Oh, yeah.
God, it was really loud. Did you think it was loud? I thought it was kind of loud.
But we've all done that. Like, oh, I want to go and have a conversation.
Oh, my God,
did
I hear that? Oh, yeah. And you can't go there because you're just going to yell at each other.
Let's go somewhere we can talk.
I've brought that up 1,000 times before. Like, that was one of the things that I used to like. And I know I talk about all the time. Literally, like, if it wasn't a show night, like, you had several other nights of the week where you could go to Winks because it was just a kind of a little cabaret. They didn't have a big sound system. Mm-hmm. You could. It was a conversation bar.
Absolutely.
And that was exactly what it was. But now you can't. Like, I love Stacey's, but good God, last night I was sitting there with Todd because we, on Monday nights, we've been just meeting up and just hanging out and we talk for a couple hours and whatever. I'm like, Jesus Christ, how loud are they going to sing that song? Because it's in your face.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that just, and I hear myself and I think, oh.
Maybe we're getting old.
There it is.
And everybody's talking about dating older guys and younger guys. And when I was younger, a little bit older.
I'm 10 years older than Aaron, Richard. Just as an idea.
There was that thing where, like, I am from an older family. I have older sisters. My friends were all older. So I always dated older because I knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when I was 5 years old, I was watching The Exorcist. So I wasn't going to.
Sure.
I didn't want to meet somebody who was watching Sesame Street. You know what I mean? When I was 20 years old, our points of reference were off by so many years that I would go older. And now that I'm old. I'm like, I can't explain it. Like, I can't do it.
We've talked about that with music.
I can't explain Diana Ross to you. Like, and it's fun. It's like funny. Like, if you want to make out, we can do that. But anything that looks like it might turn into something more, you have got to go home.
Right.
Because
Right.
Because if I wake up in the morning and I have to explain to you how to.
Take your Tinker Toys and go home.
What a Mr. Coffee is. Right. We're in a lot of trouble.
Right. No, I hear ya. I hear you.
And then you're going to be one of those species that I want to eliminate.
And then I'd
be
on board.
We did that at Stacey's. I went to Stacey's with friends on Sunday. And we stayed there for a few drinks, and it was great. And then everyone was tired, and we went back to my house. And it wasn't actually that we were tired. It was just that it was so loud, and we were yelling at each other. And we were catching up from high school, and we wanted to, like, actually do some catching up. So we went back to my house and sat on my back porch with our feet in the pool and hung out for like 3 more hours and talked and laughed and had fun. And Stacey's was a lovely place to kick it off, but it was like we were just yelling at each other.
And my last weekend in the wine country with the two girls, 29 and 30, 27 and 30, they just the whole day, the whole Sunday, when I had said, here's what I'm doing, and I travel a lot by myself, you can do whatever you want to, but it's going to be me going down to that pool for as long as I can stay in the sun. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a long bath. Join me, don't join me.
Yeah.
I will not judge you. Oh my God, they're going to the beach. They're going to go to this. They're going to go to this. They had this plan. They had this plan. And then it ended up being, let's just go to lunch. Like, now it's late. We can't go to the beach. Let's stay here. Then it was like, well, where should we find out to go? Dinner's over. It's 9 o'clock. I'm like, we have 6 bottles of kick-ass wine. Mm-hmm. We're all fun. And we played Uno for like 4.5 hours. And conversation, witty, laughing. And they were like, both of them said, they're like, there is no way you could have told me we were going to sit around in a hotel room in our pajamas and have this much fun. Like, they just didn't, but we like each other. We have stuff that we can talk, we can gossip, we can, and it was just different to show somebody, like, you can do it. But if you want to go to a club, I'll go for the early part of the evening, and then around midnight, I'm going to, please excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to go now. Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought that was interesting how it seemed like a really, really kind of rude blog by a younger person that doesn't realize they're going to age.
Mm. Right. Right, right. And that comes as a great surprise to anybody that survives it all. Sure, it's like, shit, I'm old.
Fuck, I'm there.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought it was right. Like, in reading through it, I thought, oh, you pompous little prick. And then I found a picture of him, and, you know, he's...
And I wrote that under a different name, so...
Yeah. I thought it looked like it was Shadow. No.
Now we're on pseudonyms. Homonyms. Pseudonyms.
So many nims.
Yeah. It's so... Anyway, the you can look up the blog if you want to read it, because it's young gay blog. Like, if you want to Google young gay blogger, gay men over 30 should stay out of the clubs. And this was on Instinct magazine.
The worst part is, my comment would be like, yep, they should. Like, I wouldn't. I would just take that as well. That's a scientific fact.
Because to the little twink, I say if it weren't for us older guys paving the way, there would not be any gay bars for him to go to. I thought that was a bit much.
They also got rid of the castanets and the cymbals. So who wants to go back there? There's nobody doing percussive instruments in the corner.
Us older generation.
And a whistle. Yeah. We need a guy with a whistle.
Have been through hell and back, making this world a better place for our society to enjoy and be treated equal. So go and enjoy a drink, but remember where the bars and your life can go. It is all because of us. Remember, it is not going to be, nor has it always been, about you. There are other things going on in life more important than you. I don't know.
And Steven's talking about, or Richard's talking about, hold on.
His dentist?
Steven is saying, 32. And if it's 12 years.
I love that he says you can get discounts on clean teeth. God bless you, Steven. You are spot fucking on. Yeah.
If you're in your 20s and you're paying for drinks, you're not doing it right.
Valid point.
And exactly. Richard, the gentleman from New York raises an interesting point. I remember being in Vegas one time. And down in the old strip, there was one of the casinos has a bar that goes right out to the street. So you're standing on the street, but you're inside, you're in the bar, and you can order the drinks. And I was with Kevin Dasso, little Kevin, and his boyfriend at the time, Dave.
Mr. Worley.
It was one of those awakenings as I think I was like 29 years old. And
that makes me want to catch a ball.
What?
Awakenings.
Oh, awakenings. So we were sitting there ordering the drinks, and they ordered a drink, and I just got caught up in the mirror because it was Vegas on a hot sunny day in the summer, and I was looking at myself, like, not in the usual bar setting of like lighting you can't see through, like zero visibility lighting, but broad daylight outside with a mirror ordering a drink, and Kevin's like, oh, I think I'll have a Bloody Mary. And Dave's like, well, I think I'll have this. And I'm like, I just can't believe I live this long. Like, I'm just looking in the mirror like, okay, so aging is now part of the equation. You know what I mean? It was officially the end of the era.
I saw myself
in daylight in a mirror in a hot summer day. And I thought, oh.
Horseshit.
This is just downhill.
Wee-wee. We appreciate the slide.
All right, we've beat this horse to the death. I'm done with this show. I am done with it for tonight. Text messages work. I hate stupid people. I would kill stupid people.
That's who you want.
That's how I was when I walked in, and I'm sorry.
Now,
that that's
now, shall it start? Begin with you in a mood, and now it ends with me in a mood.
Sorry,
that doesn't work. It's just stupid people. Really just astound me.
Stupid people off the island. They're all done.
You
and age doesn't matter.
Bachelorette parties, stupid people, cockroaches, pigeons, mosquitoes.
I've decided that technology will kill me.
Cockling thunder cunts.
And it really does.
Technology is going to kill me because I'm either tripping over a wire or I'm going to have a heart attack from screaming at people who are too stupid to understand what the on button does on a fucking computer. Thank you for joining us. It's a little bit after 10 o'clock. It's the show. We do it each and every week. It's Katie, Marnie, Al, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for joining us. We will leave you with this final parting word.
Hashtag.
We will see you next Tuesday!
Hashtag.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.